much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
This is the real thing. This is the necessary art of our time. This needs respect. Because it isn't, and it doesn't, and nobody cares.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
That lob into the blue line. He shoots. He scores! Say hi to Jane Biondi for me.
I'm Moira Johnston. I'm 29 years old, and I do topless activism. So I walk around topless in public.
She's fat.
That's what my car insurance company and the police have been waiting to hear.
An ordinary dinner party. The sort of occasion we all enjoy. The men are exchanging witty stories. And look at the women. Aren't they pretty? Look at the way they laugh. They're delightful.
And now,
Barack Obama's roofie did not murder me.
Our feature presentation.
All right. Thanks for that update.
Good to know.
I was afraid he had. Where is she? Where's your girlfriend, Kevin? Why isn't she calling the Afro line anymore?
I don't know. B, I'm dying to hear from her again. And I asked Omar if she left any messages over the holidays. He said no.
Uh-oh. So, maybe Barack Obama got to her with his roofies.
Maybe the roofie worked.
And murdered her.
I don't know. I just love crazy people so much.
I'm going to be sad if she goes away and we never find out what her deal is.
Yeah.
Because 50 years from now, I'm going to be wondering whatever happened to that crazy chick that used to call the Afro line, unless we know.
And was she real? This is the only thing I care about. Was she real or is she just playing a joke?
Yeah.
Right.
Because
exactly.
If she's an actress or something, a comedian.
I'm so impressed, by the way, even if that's the case.
Me too. More power to you. Because you got us completely believing and we want to believe.
And we love you.
But I don't think that's the case. I think she's crazy. And we still love her.
Do you think they just locked her up and took away her phone privileges?
I hope not.
I've been watching American Horror Story. Asylum. I'm afraid that's where she is.
Oh, my God. No.
All right. Well, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. So far, we're doing way better than we were yesterday. Everybody can hear everybody. So that's a good start in radio.
Yes.
I have a serious question before I get into today's story. And I really would like a theory.
Okay.
What is it about Florida?
Oh.
Why are am I lying if I say that 80% of the crazy ass stories that we talk about at this time each day are from Florida? A full 80%. I'm not lying, right?
No, you're not lying. It's not only that, but it's not just the last couple of years.
It's forever.
Forever.
It's forever.
20 years ago, all the crazy stories were coming out of Florida.
Look, it's a huge state with a large population. Not as big as California. Not as big as New York. You rarely see stories as insane as the ones that come out of Florida on a weekly basis in those other states. Why? It can't just be numbers.
You would think somehow it would just even out over time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, spread around the 50 states. But yeah, Florida for some reason just almost, you're almost guaranteed when you hear a crazy story, it's coming out of Florida.
And then so the question is it that Florida breeds crazy people or do crazy people
move to Florida?
But or do you, exactly. Do you become crazy because you live in Florida?
But why?
I can't imagine.
All the old people.
I don't have a theory on that.
All the old people. They make you crazy. You
old
would be
make
a
you crazy?
Gun-toting crazy man if you lived in Florida.
You're right.
Florida, the penis of America.
That is actually true.
Oh.
That's true.
Well, here's today's story, and you guys tell me if you could imagine this happening in Wisconsin. Brenda Schumann is her name. She's 51 years old. She went on an armed rampage throughout her house as she showed up one night and found her husband in bed with another woman. Now, that's uncool, first of all.
Yes,
that he's
uncool.
In bed with another woman in their house, okay?
Might I suggest it's a little worse than uncool?
Is that what you would say if you walked in your house? That is uncool.
Dude, not chill, man. Not chill at all. I don't blame Ms. Schumann for being angry at this point.
Right.
Okay, now maybe picking up a rifle and threatening to kill her 42-year-old husband and his lover, maybe that's over the top, but it's also understandable.
Yes, and not unique to Florida.
Not unique to Florida. I think a lot of people, if they had access to a rifle, would be the first thing they think if they walk in and they see their old man with a chicken in bed. In fact, her quote was, "I found him in bed with a naked chick. What was I supposed to do?" She later told a deputy, according to the sheriff's report.
What was I
in the handbook?
Is there any other option?
So it's 2:30 a.m. on December 21st. Ah, Christmas week. How beautiful. She's got a rifle. She threatens to kill them after her husband manages to get the gun away from her. And here's where it gets all Florida up in here. He says she urinated on the carpet outside the bedroom before pooping on the kitchen floor.
Yeah! What?
I'll show you.
Is she marking her territory? What's going on?
Again, recapping, he said she urinated on the carpet outside the bedroom door before pooping on the kitchen floor.
Yay!
Maybe they're unrelated and she just really had to go.
Then she allegedly found a second rifle and began to destroy items around the house, including mirrors, pictures, and Christmas decorations. It's unclear whether she was using the rifle in the destruction. Her husband told the deputies that she eventually left the house and drove away, leaving the weapons behind. Then the police tracked her down to another apartment. She allegedly tried to hold the door shut to prevent them from getting inside. She was arrested with aggravated assault, domestic violence, aggravated assault, battery, and resisting arrest without violence.
Is there a charge for aggravated pooping?
What's your theory on the poop? Is it just – that can't be, look how much more attractive I am than your mistress.
No. It just must be I'm going to screw you over by doing something horrible, I would guess.
Here's how much I hate you and this house and everything, you know, our life being built on a foundation of sand.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Oh, my God. What a crazy story, though.
Yeah. That's weird.
I'm with Kevin. She went back to prehistoric and was marking her territory.
You think
like
so?
She just checked out.
But then she left and didn't have any interest in coming back, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Imagine being the girlfriend. People. Imagine being the girlfriend, by the way. And that's what happens to you that night is you're in bed with your boyfriend and then his wife shows up with a rifle and poop.
Which is worse.
You don't want that.
You don't.
I think I'd rather have the rifle.
So, way to go, Florida. It's our first awesome story for 2013, but they are stronger than ever.
Wow. All right.
Impressive.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I must say I don't care much for your insinuation or your tone.
We are doing a tribute to Huell Howser.
Oh,
yes.
Huell.
Which is a guy I have never heard of, I've never seen, have no idea what he does except for boring interviews on PBS.
You are going to fall so deeply in love with him that it will upset you that you didn't enjoy him while he was alive.
All right. I hope that's true.
It's so weird, but I saw him over the holidays on TV with some friends, and they were doing a whole thing on the Hollywood sign, like a whole hour on the Hollywood sign. And
right.
He asked questions like, were they always as tall as they are now, the letters? And were they always not lined up exactly straight?
So you guys like the fact that it's bad. I mean, right? I'm not.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that I'm not.
And yet I did learn something.
I don't consider it bad at all.
Yeah,
I
know you
don't. Legitimate question.
No, I
hear
you.
I'd like to be. I may apply to be the new Huell Howser. That's how much I love
you.
That.
Already are. Don't worry about it. We also have Jim McMares?
McCarron.
I'm sorry. 103 ways to get into TV. If you're one of those people that's here waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, at a restaurant, and you'd like to get into TV, this guy's got all the answers.
Excellent.
Got to 100 and you went, you know what? I need three more.
It's an interesting idea for a book because it really is a handbook for people who live around the country and think, I want to move out to Hollywood and be in television. How do I even start? I don't know anything about Los Angeles. I don't have any contacts in the business. What's the first step? How do I get that door open? And that's who the book is really for. I think a lot of people will find it useful.
Plus, we have the host of The Bachelor, Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
All right.
Who Ralph's very excited about.
I'm very excited, too. I watched this week.
You did? Have you watched before?
Occasionally here and there. It's, you know, it's like the same thing that how Ralph got started is his wife watches it. My wife watches it religiously, so I've seen bits and pieces before.
Right.
But I actually watched the whole thing, and it was pretty damned awesome.
So now you're in.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm 100% in, but it was awesome.
I'm surrounded by Bachelor lovers.
The girl who shows up to meet the Bachelor on night one, and she arrives in a wedding dress, just as one example of the kind of crazies that you get on that show.
Can he make the decision right there just to send her home?
No, I don't think it works that way. But he can that night. He can send her home that night. But he didn't.
Oh, my God.
Why is Bean going to unfollow Omar on Twitter? Answer, Omar's from Florida.
Yes, he is. Omar's marking his territory every time he goes online.
And we also have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And a chance for you to qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number one, Linkin Park in Sydney, Australia. So that's pretty cool. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Latest from the Lumineers on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:52.
All I know is you get a show on basic cable, all of a sudden you don't have to show up for your day job anymore. That's the only thing I know. Get to do Joe Schmo. Don't have to do Kevin and Bean anymore.
Yep.
But apparently Ralph Garman will join us later here on the program. In the meantime, let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. I don't know if you saw people talking about this yesterday, but your friend Al Roker was back in the news, Kevin.
I did not. He's not my friend.
Kevin, for some reason, has an unnatural hate for Al Roker, and I don't know that we ever figured out what it's about. He's the weatherman on the Today Show. It has been for a long time.
I don't watch the Today Show either. That's the weird thing.
Yeah,
that is weird.
What is it about Al Roker that bugs you so much?
I wish I could put my finger on it. I really don't know. It just, he bugs.
Well, he did an interview on Dateline NBC this week. He's got a new book out. I think it may even be his second one about his battles with weight. He was one of these guys who was huge. He was like 340 pounds or something like that. Just a huge dude. Had the gastric bypass surgery. Then ended up, after some personal drama with his parents dying and everything like that, ended up getting all depressed and eating and gaining a bunch of the weight back, and then had to lose it all over again. So he's one of those guys. Not a story that's dissimilar from a lot of Americans, and I think that's why he's so relatable to a lot of people with the problems that he's been through. Well, he told a story on Dateline NBC that I don't know that I would ever have the guts to tell, even in the interest of trying to help other people. But he's talking about being at the White House about a month after his gastric bypass surgery.
Right.
When something happened to him, and again, you listen to Al Roker telling this story on Dateline NBC. Tell me if you would ever share this. And here's that tape.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I had it.
When you have a bypass and you know your bowel's been reconstructed, you think you're pretty safe. And I probably went off and ate something I wasn't supposed to. And as I'm walking to the press room, I think I got to, you know, pass a little gas here. So I'm walking by myself. Who's going to know? Only a little something extra came out.
Ah! You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Ah!
Not horribly, but enough that I knew.
Which is a common side effect of this surgery.
Exactly. And so, you know, I was panicking. So I got to the restroom in the press room, threw out the underwear, you know, and just went commando.
The fear.
The fear.
Oh, man.
Would you?
Nope.
Could you?
Nope.
Isn't that a private secret that you take to your grave?
I don't know. It's pretty awesome.
Would you ever?
Where it happened makes it a great story.
I mean, it is pretty awesome to say you'll never believe what happened to me in the White House. Right? I mean, that's a story you could tell forever.
Yeah.
Of course, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. But, I mean, I don't think anybody's looking at Al like he's a bad guy. Obviously, he did it on purpose. I mean, he had surgery. They rearrange your bowels. And it doesn't, you know, it takes a while for that to heal up and work properly again. So I guess his point was, I'm trying to help other people who are thinking about gastric bypass surgery know that this is a thing that might
happen.
Don't
visit the White House within a month after the surgery.
Everyone will never look at Al Roker again the same way. I'm sorry. That's
oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, my butt.
Can you imagine the thinking that was going through his head? Like, who do I tell?
Yep. How do I get out of this? I can't just run away. Obviously, I'm at the White House for a briefing or something. I've got to stay.
Maybe all he does is ask where a restroom is.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
And then you got to wait for someone for it to empty so you can throw your underwear away.
Then he threw his underwear away, which is monster. Let's be honest. He's not as skinny as he thinks.
Gigantic underwear.
Yeah. Mike Catherwood tweeted yesterday that Al Roker pooping his pants is his generation's moon landing. That's what I thought was awesome. And here's a quick Kim Kardashian story, and I generally don't care, but I love how she's kind of twisting in the wind, still being married to Chris Humphries. And I don't know, we have to ask Harvey about this, because I don't fully understand why they can't just get a divorce.
Right.
But he refuses to, or is the deal that she's not offering him enough money to go away to get rid of that marriage? Is that what's happening? And he's saying, I'm going to take you to court unless you, is he extorting her at this point, or what?
I think he is, but he's not doing it that way, that black and white. He's just saying, I'm going to do a tell-all unless you say that it was
fraud.
Fraud.
He's trying to save face, basically, by saying, look, I don't want any part of why this marriage didn't break up.
Probably.
It was you, not me, kind of thing?
Probably, yeah.
Well, she did an interview this week where she talked to TMZ, and she said she doesn't feel like she needs to marry Kanye, even though they're going to have a baby later this year, but she would prefer not to be legally married to somebody else when she gives birth.
Sure.
Kim says that Chris Humphries, her former husband, is being spiteful and vindictive in dragging out the divorce, which, by the way, has dragged on for nearly a year and a half at this point after being married, what, 72 days?
I think he is being spiteful and vindictive, and I support him.
I do, too.
But look, if you're Kim Kardashian and you literally can make $5 million in a day if you want.
Yeah.
Literally. You can sell photos. You can do openings. You can do so many things to make that kind of money. Don't you just find out, you know, your attorney talks to his attorney. Look, what's the number that's just going to make this end tomorrow? You know, don't you just take care of it and just bite the bullet because you can make tons of money and just give him whatever he wants and have it go away?
I don't know. It seems like
I would think so.
That's crazy.
if they can't settle, the judge is setting a trial date, which, of course, is what we all want. And, you know, both sides have already put tons of money into attorneys on this, so it's not cheap.
But maybe that's what he wants, is a trial date. He wants to prove.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe so.
Khloe Kardashian is in the news. She is selling a bunch of her belongings on eBay, a lot of her clothes.
And that's because she, what, doesn't fit into them anymore?
I can't answer that. A bunch of her wardrobe is on eBay. Fans can bid on everything from sports bras to jeans to platform pumps.
Does it go to charity?
A portion of the proceeds goes to charity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a nickel of every dollar. So she probably needs the money, by the way.
Could be. So if you want a size 22 platform pump, it's available on eBay. Good luck.
Lisa May, would you ever buy a sports bra used by another person?
No. There's just no need for that. I can go to Target and get one for $15.
Yeah, that's not a hand-me-down item, right?
No, it's going to come with hair.
Yeah, I would think so.
Nobody wants that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, one of the most famous women in the world. Tell me why, please. Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge. Got her own little baby on the way. She is 31 years old today. Backstreet Boy AJ McLean is 35 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews turns 46. Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, 69 years old today. Let me see. J.K. Simons from Law & Order, 58 years old today. And that's about it. Ralph will do better with the birthdays next hour right here on the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor and this weekend's Miss America pageant, by the way. He's got to be meeting a lot of ladies in his job, right?
I would think so.
Although, is he a single dude?
Although if he's hosting The Bachelor, crazy.
They're all crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, he joins us coming up. Also, Ralph Garman's tribute to the great Schulhauser later this hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about Gillionaire. I'm not sure how you say his name. You guys remember the song we played last year called I'm the Best?
How could we not?
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
I love him so much, by the way.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if I think he's awesome or do I think he's so bad that that makes it entertaining.
Oh, I think so bad it's entertaining.
Yeah.
There's no way he's awesome. I mean, there's no way you're entertained by that for real other than ironically and funny. Right?
Yeah, maybe so. But he definitely has a way with a melody. He certainly makes it his own.
He's come out with a new song now, and you can see the video at kevinandbean.com. And I would suggest you go there because the video is pretty spectacular as well.
Okay.
And the song is called Dem Pants, and it's a celebration of women with curves who wear tight pants.
Oh.
And he does love dem pants.
It's your man, Gil.
I say skirt anytime I see a girl with curves. Skirt. It's like you driving when on the street with curves. Skirt.
Snap if you know it.
I hear them fingers snapping. It's like swag time.
It's swag time.
Girl, you got them pants.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Working in them
girl,
pants.
You working hard.
Skirt. You got me. Girl, you working hard.
Skirt.
You got me. Got them pants.
Skirt.
Now, let me ask you this question because I find it funny because it's so bad. What do you think he's thinking? Does he think this is really good?
I don't know.
Is he proud of it?
Or is he just effing around? I think he is. Look, I've heard worse songs on Kiss FM.
I don't know. This is a tough one.
Working in them pants.
Girl, you working hard.
You got me. Girl, you working hard. You got me. Them pants. You working in them pants. You working hard. You got me.
It's pretty catchy.
Girl, you working hard.
Skirt.
You got me.
Skirt.
That's the thing. His stuff Skirt. Is catchy.
It is catchy. I mean, it definitely has a great melody. And here's the beautiful thing about the age in which we live is he doesn't need to go out and get a record deal and representation and get on the radio.
Because he
and
couldn't.
Stuff like that. No, but what I'm saying is a guy like Jillionaire, I'm on his video page right now. Right. He's got 112,000 hits on Dem Pants already. Okay. And this is brand new. He'll have twice that in a couple of weeks. I mean, he is going to have an impact. People are going to find him and like him.
Take it easy. I mean, find and like again. I think really for fun factor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Kanye came up with this with a beat.
I'm not listening to it at home.
Boom, 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 boom.
You know what I'm talking about. Them black pants, they fit your booty. I'm in a trance, so thank your manager and your owner. Them pants you working in has given us all bonus
swag.
So here's the tip, just a tip. Them pants are so damn tight, I think they gonna rip. And when I see you in them, make my record skip, 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 skip. And if your booty talk, it will sound like my lips when they go.
What's happening?
I don't know what's happening there. I don't understand that. Underwater. Okay.
Hold on. How can you now not be interested? That's the best part.
What's happening now? He's just gargling at this point.
Right.
Girl, you Swag. Got them pants. You working in them pants.
Girl, you working hard.
You got me. Girl, you working hard. You got me. Them pants.
Swag. He threw in a skirt and a swag.
And a swag.
Yeah, that's the
within remix. Like 4 seconds.
You but working you, in.
You know what's going to happen is at some point today, no matter how much you hate listening to this, is you're going to be driving down the yep. street or sitting at home and you're going to be thinking, pants or skirt.
Girl, you got them pants.
Girl, you working hard. You got me. Girl, you working hard. You got me.
I think I've heard
pants.
Enough.
Pants.
Bow, 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 bow.
There it is.
Bow. Come on, that's the
well.
Hit.
He's got. I'm the best.
Yeah.
He's got Rifle Burst. Remember Rifle
oh,
Burst?
Oh, Rifle Burst is
another
is good.
Big hit that we love so much. Now yeah. he's got pants. He's on his way, man. He's
working
on his
way. In pants. You working hard. You got me.
He doesn't change up the lyrics a lot.
No.
From the beginning to the end, it's not. There's not a real story arc.
No. You mostly get what's going on here in the first minute.
That's true. Yeah. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 6.
We're going to hook you up with a chance maybe to go to Australia to see Linkin Park in Sydney at 9:10 this morning. You win the new Linkin Park album, Living Things, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing. We do, I assume, at the end of this week to send you down under. All the details at krock.com. A few minutes ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, we were talking about the Al Roker from the Today Show, talking about him pooping his pants at the White House.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
And I was thinking, you know who loves that story more than anyone in the world is our friend DJ Omar Khan,
that is awesome.
Who joins us in his video. Hey, Omar, how are you?
Skirt!
Now, what's the problem here? Bean, I hate to see two employees not get along.
I know.
He's been complaining for quite some time, Omar, about your Twitter, which you just started.
I know, and I barely tweet. Where's the hate, Bean?
Why do you need to unfollow Omar?
I know.
Here's the problem, is that I love Omar. I don't know that Omar would consider me a close friend, but
absolutely not.
I like Omar very, very much.
But having said that, no one would consider you a close friend.
Right.
Omar is absolutely one of my favorite people at K-Rock, and I was really excited when he joined Twitter a couple of months ago because, you know, it's nice to kind of hear from the boy. I don't get a chance to talk to him that much at work. Nice to hear from him, right? But Omar is so fascinated with his own poop that I don't even feel like I know him anymore. And I don't really know – I mean
– That's all you need to know him.
Yeah, Mike Catherwood was the same way, by the way, but at least Mike would talk about other things occasionally. Omar is so poop-centric that it worries me that he's an adult who has his own child. Like, how does somebody grow up and survive in the world if all they ever think about is what's coming out of their butt?
Because it's awesome. It's very funny. And
but
everybody
why?
Poops.
Right, but why are you so fascinated with poop? Look, Kevin, you raised children. Don't most kids go through that phase and get through it at age like three? Yeah,
of course. And then they're not as fascinated.
Right,
but
I think, you know,
Omar's stuck there.
But for me, it's like, I know people are reading these tweets and going, aw. And that for me is really super funny.
Nothing brings Omar more joy than, aw.
Absolutely,
well,
yeah, I love that.
Let me give you a couple of examples here, and maybe you'll see why I'm debating. As much as I like Omar as a person, I'm debating just pulling the plug on having him in my life on Twitter. And Lisa, are you following Omar, Lisa?
No.
What? You're not?
Come on.
No.
All right. Right before Halloween is when Omar joined Twitter, and one of his first tweets was, gonna wrap some of my brown log in Hershey wrappers, king size bars if you trick or treat at my house.
That's funny, dude.
And I don't look, there's nothing interesting to me about thinking about you handing out logs at the door at Halloween.
That visual cracks me up.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
In the Christmas season, Chip and I always tweet each other. You know, she'll tweet me what you're making, and I'll tweet back fruitcake. It's just the thing that
we do,
that's right?
Hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. Omar jumps into our conversation. Hey, guys, I'm making something big and brown. And again, I'm just having funny.
I'm following you. I'm changing it right now.
At DJ Omar Khan, people.
But Chip and I are just, you know, having a laugh, enjoying the holiday season, making some fruitcake jokes, keeping it light. And I don't want to think about your bowels during that. I don't want you to ruin my holiday season.
Oh, so you don't want me to have a laugh. You don't want me to have a good time during the holidays as well.
You want Omar to not have fun.
That's a good point.
Here's Omar on Thanksgiving night, okay, after his big dinner. What do you think is on Omar's mind after he enjoys Thanksgiving?
Let me think.
Does he need to tweet these words, quote, biggest dump of the year is on the way, end quote? Who needs that? Does anyone need that?
Was there a follow-up? Did I
tweet a picture?
I don't know.
Thank God,
Instagram?
No. No, but I'm saying, was it actually, or did it just feel like it?
It was pretty close.
All right.
It was pretty close. I did eat a lot.
Here's one from December 15th. I didn't click on the picture. The tweet is making tamales. Now, I don't know if he was really making tamales.
No, he's got a lot of code words.
Yeah. I was terrified that if I clicked on that picture, I would in fact see the tamales. Well, I mean, what should I do, you guys? I like Omar. I want to follow Omar on Twitter.
Follow him.
Yeah. He's only tweeting about poop, though.
That's funny.
Who has time for that?
By the way, on Twitter, I've been on Twitter, I don't know, a couple of months or whatever. It's so easy to skip by the people who are just, you know, stuff that you're not really interested in.
Of course.
99% of the people I follow, I thought were going to be interesting and funny and just suck.
Yeah, that's not
so you just kind of scroll through, you know, really quickly or whatever. So it's not a big deal. How many people do you follow me?
120.
120? So you're not, you know, getting a bunch of tweets. Just scroll through mine. And
but if all he's doing is scrolling through yours, why wouldn't he just unfollow?
Yeah, what's the point?
I mean, has he ever...
Because occasionally he'll see my tweet and he'll go, aw.
No, but that brings you joy, not him. Not him.
All right, a couple more, and you guys can decide whether I'm making the right move if I unfollow. Fact, the ladies love the smell of farts. Am I right, ladies? Hashtag assburp.
Now I have to unfollow you again.
What?
That's pretty good.
You're right?
One more. I'm coming out with my own eau de toilette. It's called Le Fart, and my fragrance will come from a toilet, not like those other ones, liars.
Listen to Omar laugh.
At least I'm putting some work into my tweets. I'm not just saying, hey, good morning, or hey, check this website out. A bunch of people just waste your time on Twitter.
That's not what you're doing.
Nope. I'm bringing you quality poop humor.
He aggressively loves his poop.
He does. He does.
I think, Omar, our relationship is going off.
Are you kidding me?
I think we're going to be friends in person only from now on, son. I'm sorry.
I thought you'd like to stay current with my beehole, dude.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:35.
I lost you guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. You there?
We can hear you.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Go fix that. Hey, congratulations, Ralph. That. Congratulations on Joe Schmo.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah, we debuted last night, and people seem to really like it. And
you look like a badass, first of all.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is absurd.
How dare you, sir?
You did come in on the motorcycle, which I was excited about.
Yes, made my entrance on the hog.
And I only watched hour one. Lisa tells me there's a lot that went on in hour two that I need to catch up on.
Our first eviction ceremony takes place.
Lorenzo Lamas, in the first episode... awesome. You told me he was funny, and I thought, how funny can Lorenzo Lamas
be? He blows it up.
Yeah.
He really does.
It was really good, and
oh,
you were
thanks,
really good.
Man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right, let's talk about who's this Huell Hauser guy. Again,
Huell Hauser.
Everybody seems to be making a big deal out of this, but I've, A, never seen him, B, never heard of him, C, from everything you say, the only reason I would watch him is because it's so bad.
No, that's why I brought in this tribute. Because we were talking about his passing away yesterday, and you said, oh, no, I don't watch him. And I was flummoxed. For the past 30 years, he's been an icon in Southern California, and you haven't watched him.
I don't get PBS. Mm. I mean, I get it. It's just
sure
I don't understand
your home.
You
just don't get it.
Oh, you don't get it.
I just don't understand it.
It is the California Gold, California's Gold, and Videolog and all his other shows are just priceless. He goes around Southern California and all of California, and he teaches you what makes California unique and special by doing these in-depth stories.
So it's like a five-minute webisode?
No, it's an hour long. It's the best. And you hadn't known.
You learn everything about one little thing.
I don't want to know that much
you
about one
thing. You didn't know the magic that was Huell Hauser, so I brought in some samples so that maybe you can go and you can get the copies of.
And ask a question. Do you guys mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
How did Kevin never hear about Huell Hauser until he died?
He must have heard of him.
Hello? I've never. Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
All right. Sorry. I don't know what the answer to that is. How have I never heard of him? I just haven't.
Well, here's some samples of his work. I mean, for example, he teaches you what's special about California.
Okay.
For example, what amazing things have been invented in California? Is that a question you've ever asked about the state that you live in?
I have no interest in that.
Well, Huell Hauser will teach you.
Okay, this is exciting because I've heard that what happened right here in this little red shed years ago ranks with Henry Ford's car, Thomas Edison's light bulb, and Eli Whitney's cotton gin. In fact, it's just as important as those inventions. The Rainbird impact drive sprinkler head was invented in this little shed.
Yes! Don't you want to know where the Rainbird sprinkler was invented?
Oh,
I have no interest, but again, it sounds like I missed something truly horrible.
Truly wonderful.
Right, wonderful because of horrible.
What about all the shops and the businesses of California? How about the special stores that you may not even know existed, this one?
I have no interest.
Get ready for an adventure, an unusual adventure, an exciting adventure. It's called The Wizard of Bras. Does that pique your interest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not from him, by the way. It doesn't pique my interest because it's not
going to... The Wizard of Bras.
We're inside The Wizard of Bras. Bras. Now,
bras.
That's a very interesting subject.
Yes.
And I mean, it really is, isn't
it? It really is.
It really
bras.
Is.
Bras is fascinating.
Bras.
How about meeting the wonderful people of California, like the Whistling Diva?
No.
Look at all these trophies over here. You want to give everybody right now about a 30-second hint as to what you do?
All right. This will be a hint. See if you can guess what I do.
Wow, what a hint. How could he ever guess?
Wow. We're going to get down to the serious business, you guessed it, of whistling.
Yeah.
Ralph.
Whistling.
Ralph. Is this show made for people with special needs?
No.
Because he's talking like it is. Like, wow. She's just whistling.
Wow.
There's no one that can. I whistle poorly, but at least you can whistle a little bit. It's not. It deserves no wow.
Huell is the best. How about the flies up at Mono Lake? You go up to Mono Lake. You ever seen the flies around Mono Lake?
I have been there and I've seen them. It's amazing.
There's flies all over this lake, Kevin.
So what?
That deserves its own TV special for an hour.
Look at these flies. They're everywhere. Look how they move. Look at this. Ha! The wind is pushing the flies.
Again, yes. He's talking so slowly. You must be special needs.
He's special.
I've never seen anything like this. These are all flies. Look out there at that. Oh, look. Wait a minute. I'm having a fly experience here. Look at this. Listen.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's not too excited about flies for you?
Flies!
It's amazing!
Kevin, they
I'm
are flies.
I'm telling you.
There are flies there.
You can't believe it.
And lastly,
How about what? Where else would you see, other than on California's Gold, where else would you see a dog eat an avocado?
But do I need to see that?
Yes, because it teaches an all-important lesson about life and love.
Your dog is eating an avocado. I've never seen a dog eat avocados before.
I mean, that shell is. That shell is.
That dog ate every speck of that avocado.
Now that's an avocado-eating dog.
Newell Hauser gave us an avocado-eating dog.
I am going to miss him.
Now you're going to go back and watch his entire body of work.
I may do that.
We haven't had the chance to talk about this yet this morning, but Ralph Garman, you were on my TV last night.
There I was.
Yes, you were.
Right there on a television.
That was great. Of was Joe awesome. Schmo, first two episodes on Spike TV, back for season number three after 10 long years away. Yeah. First of all, tell us about your night, and we want to talk about the show real quick.
My night was, we had a little party with the cast and crew to get together to celebrate the premiere, mm-hmm. and it was very cool at the Soho House there on Ooh. Sunset. Yeah, very hoity-toity. Yeah.
Have a drink or two? What happened 5 minutes
Did you
ago?
Drink the whole bar?
What happened?
What time will your night last night end?
When he came in, I went, Ralph smells like alcohol.
Yeah.
All right. What happened 5 minutes ago?
I was projectile vomiting in the other room. I rolled in around 1 o'clock this morning. Way overserved. Everybody on the production came up to me and said, dude, congratulations. You're so awesome. Let's do a shot. I was like, how do you say, well, no, I'm not going to do a shot with you.
Thanks. That's nice. Okay.
All right. Boom. Then next person comes up. Hey, you were the best. We'll never have another experience like this, brother. Let's do a shot. Boom. And yeah.
Now, I know that when Kevin is out and he's partying, there comes a point at which he no longer considers, hey, I'm supposed to be at work at 5 a.m. That just doesn't even cross his mind anymore. He forgets that.
Yeah.
How about you? Is it always in the back of your mind, or did you just throw that away?
It was always in the back of my mind, but I was like, whatever.
Never made it to the front.
We got a driver, and I'll go home, catch a little nap, boom.
It's only radio.
There we go.
Everybody except for Bean has worked in that state.
Yes.
Well, I have not seen the show.
What?
I DVR'd, of course, but
it's awesome.
Everybody's raving about it. Yeah. Raving about the first two episodes.
People seem to really like it, which is very exciting. So, looking forward to seeing what the numbers are like later today, and we'll find out what the numbers
absolutely.
Are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, 6:52. It's Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph will now muddle through the showbiz beat.
Muddle through? This might be my best one ever.
Yeah, what happens if if you need to, go ahead and run.
Trash can right there behind me.
I'm not sure we need to hear that.
Just going
to
turn around and just...
All right.
I might go for distance. I might just do it from the seat here. We'll see what happens.
You're the new Vomiting Larry.
Kelly Osbourne is fed up with Lady Gaga's fans.
Why?
Well, she tells the new issue of Fabulous magazine. Do you read Fabulous? Do you have a subscription of Fabulous?
How did I miss Fabulous?
I read every one of them. You know that.
That she still gets called fat. And that Lady Gaga's fans are the worst.
She's not fat anymore, though,
saying
right?
that she should kill herself or that she hopes she gets raped.
What?
That's what Lady Gaga's fans say to Kelly Osbourne.
Did they have some sort of feud, those two?
There is some sort of feud going on between the two of them.
Does Kelly know that most of her fans are eight?
I don't think she does. Oh. And I would never hope that Kelly Osbourne gets raped.
Of course not.
Why would you do that to a guy? Okay, guys, you don't even know who that guy is. He doesn't deserve that. Josh Brolin finally sobered up after his New Year's Eve arrest. I wish I could.
Yeah.
He was popped for intoxication, as we mentioned, just before midnight.
Give him the breathalyzer!
That's for Ralph, not for him.
But managed to pull it together last Monday night for the premiere of The Gangster Squad, his new movie. Showed up on the red carpet looking handsome, refreshed, and happy, according to onlookers. I look forward to that day. When I feel any one of those things.
I'm looking forward to that movie, by the way.
Yeah, it looks awesome, doesn't it?
It's really good.
It does.
Catherine McPhee's in the news.
All right.
Over the weekend.
When's Smash coming back, Ralph?
Early February. Can't wait. Yeah, me too. This weekend we did the thing called the TCAs, the Television Critics Association.
Right.
And we did it for Schmo, and the next day, I think it was cable one day and then networks the next day. So apparently a lot of the stars were staying at the hotel there, getting ready to do their presentations. And I walked in the bar, and there's the entire cast of Smash was hanging out there. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Megan Hilty and Catherine did a little buzz by. I didn't get a chance to talk to her. But
y'all do shots?
Oh, we did not.
Do you like our show? Have a shot.
Don't say shots.
Doesn't sound good. Doesn't feel good. She says that the show requires a lot of singing, as you can imagine, and she is very protective of her instrument. So partying all night is a big fat no-no, she says.
What?
She doesn't party anymore.
She respects see how her body.
See how some people do?
Some people are good. She really did. Just came in. She said hi to her castmates and then left the bar again. She didn't stick around and booze
it up. Wait, so she cares more about her job than getting a load on?
Yeah.
What? Well, you guys don't have as much in common as you thought.
No, I don't care so much for her anymore. And Heidi Klum is in the news. She said that she has no plan of becoming a bitter ex-wife just because her marriage to Seal hit the skids. She said that everyone in her family is healthy and moving on with their lives, and she doesn't plan to make this a negative thing in her life.
Good.
She's going to turn it into a positive. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, celebrities can do that.
Yes, true. She also said, by the way, she's not a cougar. She couldn't imagine at almost 40 years old waking up next to a 25-year-old.
Has she tried it?
I don't know. Maybe she'd give it a shot.
Take it easy.
I can imagine it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you watch that Teen Mom over there on MTV?
Do not.
No.
It's
too sad.
It is
that's
too
the
sad.
That's the show where Dr. Drew impregnates kids.
Right? I don't think that's what how
it goes. A bunch of teenagers, and he gets them pregnant, and then he watches what happens after.
He has nothing to do with them getting pregnant.
Farrah Abraham is one of the teen moms. She recently just had a ton of plastic surgery done to herself, and to show you how skewed her priorities are, she recently revealed on her own blog that she waxed her 3-year-old daughter's unibrow.
Wow, three seems a little young for that, doesn't it?
Yeah, because sometimes kids have hair when they're born and stuff, and then it, you know, hormones kick in and it goes away. But she was so concerned that it wouldn't go away that she tried to wax her kid's forehead.
Wow.
At three. She said the wax didn't work because the baby started to play with it and put a towel up to it and wiped it off because it was hot on her head.
Right.
So she waited until her daughter was asleep and then plucked her eyebrows out with the tweezers.
I don't want to be that person's kid.
No, God, no.
Hey, I'm sleeping here. What are you doing?
This woman should be taken out with a blow dart. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
And Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser. She's back on that show. Very exciting that she's back.
I've never seen
being all angry and lesbianic.
She's a trainer?
She's one of the trainers, okay. Yes.
She screams at the fat people to get up and go for it.
Yeah.
She has a new baby. And she said she did not anticipate how much a child under one throws up every day.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to pass on this story.
Yeah, why don't you move on?
Yeah. More or less than you.
Not linger on that one.
Screen this whole thing.
No. Having some Coke, and maybe that'll settle it.
A little Coke helps settle the stomach.
Sure.
Coca-Cola.
Yes. Celebrity birthdays today. Legendary guitarist Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin is 69 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons, one of my favorites. He was in Law & Order, and The Closer, 58 years old. Dave Matthews is 46. Joey Lauren Adams, you know her from Chasing Amy. One of my buddy Kevin Smith's movie, 45 years old today. A.J. McLean of the Backstreet Boys, 35 years old. Catherine, the Duchess of Cambridge, formerly known as Kate Middleton, 31 years old. And Nina DeBrev from The Vampire Diaries and Degrassi, The Next Generation. She's 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday. Adam Carolla joins us later on today. And if you ever wanted to make it in the world of television or show business, you want one of those fancy Hollywood jobs, we've got a guy who's written a book just for you. That's coming up next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, this coming weekend at the Long Beach Convention Center is something called the Los Angeles Travel and Adventure Show. It's going on all weekend long. You can get details at AdventureExpo.com. You can call K-Rock right now at 1-800-520-1067. We've got a few pairs of passes to give away, and you'll also qualify for a grand prize trip to Iceland or South Africa just for calling in. If you're going to the show this weekend on Sunday afternoon in the Travel and Adventure Theater, Chris Harrison from The Bachelor is going to be giving a little talk and signing autographs. And Chris joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Harrison, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thank God. I thought I was the person that wrote the book to get you a job.
Yeah. How do we do that? What are your tips?
I don't want anybody in the business. I don't want anyone taking my damn job.
So, Chris, how often do you do something like this where you go out and kind of give a little bit of a talk and answer questions about The Bachelor?
You know, it's funny. As far as, you know, I speak quite a bit, whether it's at schools or other events. But as far as travel goes, this is the first travel show. And it's funny that The Bachelor has kind of become as much of a travel show as it has even a romance, dating, or, you know, a marriage show, because we have literally traveled around the world. You mentioned Iceland. We've been to Reykjavik. We've been to South Africa. We've in preparing to speak this Sunday at the travel show, I have looked at all the places we've been, and it's really stunning.
Your show is like a super slow Amazing Race.
Exactly. It's not nearly as annoying.
And I also have to say, and this is, and I'm sure people talk to you all the time about this, Chris Harris, it is these people that think they meet and are falling in love in the month or whatever that they're on their program, they're living a rich fantasy life where they're on somebody else's dime, and they're on the top of a mountain, and they're going water skiing, and they're laying out in Jamaica at the beach. It's nothing like real life. What you ought to do is put those people in a 1,200-square-foot apartment in New York City and make them live together for a week.
Exactly. I always said, I should leave my two kids with them for a week and be like, here, this is what it's like.
You would never do that to your two kids.
Exactly. Yeah, not with these people.
How are you feel about the new batch of ladies that we met Monday night on The Bachelor, Chris?
I think it's a good group. I mean, you guys are always better judges than I am, but, you know, Sean's a good guy. He's a really good guy. I don't know if you guys have met him yet, but pretty sharp, wicked sense of humor. Charismatic, charming, not, you know, I think Lisa May said that she likes his abs a lot.
Yep.
And so this, you know, this group of women, I think, is pretty diverse, beautiful. I think they have a lot to offer. There are some interesting characters in there.
Sure.
Yeah,
definitely. And I want to talk about a couple of those. But I found it so fascinating, and I guess this happens every season of The Bachelor, is that while the show is on the air, there are – I don't know how many, dozens, hundreds, thousands of girls who are out there watching that show who are fantasizing about The Bachelor and thinking, I want to meet that person and I want to marry that person and he's right for me. I mean, they really take it personally when they see these shows.
They do. I mean, one of the ladies that was on the show, I'm sure we'll be talking about, the 50 Shades of Drunk girl, you know, when she's talking to him and she's like, I've already seen the show and I've decided we're going to get married and I've talked to my mom about this and she approves.
Yeah.
By the way, two negatives the first time you meet somebody.
No kidding.
Yeah. On how to chase a guy away. It is stunning how much they know, and they come in with this celebrity status. I mean, when these girls see Sean and they pull up in the limo, they're already going crazy just because it's meeting kind of a star on this super big Hollywood set.
Right. And you mentioned how drunk she got. And, Kevin, you didn't see it yet, but she's obsessed with 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, the only reason she's dying to get a husband, I think, is so that she can play games with a tie every night.
Right.
But she is not the only girl this year who got super drunk on night number one when they were just meeting The Bachelor. Now, tell me what the policy is on the show. I mean, you guys, I know that takes a lot longer to film than we see it on TV. You just encourage them to drink as much as they want while they're waiting to have their one-on-one time with him, right?
Well, most of them we just put on an IV.
Good, good.
And so we can just put the vodka right into the – no, actually, the thing is, it's just a long day, and I think a lot of them get caught up. But that honestly, we wouldn't let anybody get out of control, and we would take care of them. Well, to a certain degree, they're all out of control. But if you are going to – let that get the best of you on the first time you're going to meet somebody and you're going to get that drunk and you're going to act that silly,
right?
Then that's part of it. Like, that's if you're going to be that ridiculous on that night and you can't control yourself, then that's kind of something Sean wants to see or doesn't want to see, and you're going to be going home like 50 Shades of Drunk Girl.
It's funny, right? The people that watch this show are so passionate about it. What kind of stuff do people come up to you on the street and they're angry because so-and-so didn't get together with so-and-so and they're not happy with the choice of whoever? I mean, does that stuff happen?
Oh, our fans are, you know, early on in social media, I'm way too much of a smart aleck, and I would send stuff out just goofing around, and I realize people do take this very seriously.
Yeah.
This is not funny to them. And so I definitely had to dial back and be a lot more cautious about what I tweet out or whatever. And so they get very vested in these people. It really is, you know, you talk about the travel show and all that and where we go and Sean and the way he looks. It really is a modern-day real-life soap opera. It's taken the place of the soap opera. We go to places you only dream of. You know, we have guys and people you only dream of, and we do things you only dream of, yet this is real, and yet we do have marriages and breakups, and so it is, it's taken on this real-life soap opera, and the way people got vested in their stories back in the 70s and 80s, that's The Bachelor now.
Yeah, you're right. It just happens to be real people, and it's unscripted. Chris Harrison is on the phone with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can meet him Sunday at the Travel and Adventure Theater at the Long Beach Convention Center at around 2:45. He's going to be giving a talk and signing autographs. The speech is called 10 Years of the Bachelor, A Reflection on Romance and Travel. Let me ask you about a couple more quick things real fast, Chris. Talk to people who haven't seen the show about the bold decision that one of the ladies made this year to show up to meet the Bachelor while she was wearing a wedding dress.
Okay, her name's Lindsay, and at first, and I wouldn't have gone that direction, but Sean has a great sense of humor. I got that. It was the problem with Lindsay is she pushed it a little too far. She kept going a little too far with the joke, and she also got a little tipsy, and so she almost blew it on night one.
Well, that's because it wasn't a joke, Chris.
Well, that's probably true too.
Yeah. I mean, that's absurd. That is an absurd.
I mean, it is a way to make an entrance and to stand out from the other girls, but you're right. At some point, she needed to let that go and show that she could also be normal and not just try to get this guy married on night one.
Right. It's one of the things you show up in a wedding dress and you're like, oh, it's funny. Look, I have a normal, cute little black dress on underneath. That's what I'm really wearing tonight. I'm not keeping this on. And it was, let's berate the joke, and oh, it's my first dance. Oh, let's have our first kiss. After a while, you're like, okay, I get it. I get the joke. Let's let it go. Now let's have a conversation.
Yeah,
right. He was very gracious. All right, last question for you. Which did you ever imagine you would see first on The Bachelor with all the years you've been doing the show? Both are on this season. Which did you imagine would come first? A contestant with an arm missing or a contestant whose job is a Jumbotron operator?
Or C, the apocalypse.
Yeah. You're right.
I love that. Yeah, the girl, her name is Paige, and she had been on Bachelor Pad this summer, and she is a Jumbotron operator. And the funny thing is, I didn't even realize that until I watched the show back this week that she was, I mean, I would have absolutely dove into what do you do.
Yeah, that's a crazy job, right?
I guess somebody has to do it.
Sure.
You think when you go to these stadiums, I guess somebody runs that. I just didn't know. I've never known anybody to do that. It's phenomenal.
Not much on research, are you, Chris?
No, I'm not. No, you'd be stunned at how little I know about these people.
All right. Well, The Bachelor airs Monday nights on ABC, of course, and you can meet Chris Harrison and get an autograph at the Long Beach Convention Center this Sunday, the Travel and Adventure Theater, starting at around 2:45. Chris, I'm so glad we had a chance to have you on. We don't do it often enough, man. Let's talk again soon.
Really appreciate it. And by the way, my apologies to those that come to the show, because I will be flying in literally from Vegas because I'm hosting Miss America the night before.
All right.
So no promises on this speech.
You're going to be in bad shape.
I will be in bad.
All right, let's start out. Any questions?
Exactly.
Thank you, Chris.
Linkin Park in Sydney, Australia. Hell yeah. We're going to hook you up. You actually qualify by winning Linkin Park's latest album called Living Things, coming up at around 9:10 this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 later on today at K-Rock. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number one. And Dave, the King of Mexico, just got back from down under, of course, so he will definitely advise you to eat a kangaroo or something if you go down
there. That's correct, yes.
Whatever really cute animals you encounter in Australia, kill them and eat them. That's Dave's advice. Get all those details at krock.com.
Let's talk about New Year's resolutions. We were talking about this. We always do when we come back from Christmas break, New Year's resolutions. It cracks us up because people say, for the year, I'm going to do this to be better. And then usually they break that resolution really within 24 hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder what the percentage is now here on what, January 9th, I guess we're at, right? What do you think the percentage is of people who made New Year's resolutions that have already given up on them? I was broken, but given up on them.
I would say 80%.
I'd put it higher.
Would you? I mean, I really think it's one of those things, and I think it's because of the mindset, which is if I fail once, it's over.
I've already blown it. Right,
which is obviously a stupid mindset. But we were talking, there was a disproportionate number of women who called in with a very troubling New Year's resolution, which is to be less of a slut. Now, don't make that decision so hastily.
And let me ask you this, Lisa. Let me ask your perspective from you and your friends. And I'm really curious about
this.
Is some of it that it's you're torn inside between I deserve this and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm single and I can sleep with whoever I want. But there's also something in the back of your mind that's thinking that this is wrong or this is, somebody will look down on me if I have too many partners. So I really do need to curtail it. Is it both happening at the same time?
I think it's both. And I think there's a third thing, which is I probably should respect myself more and expect a little bit more from someone else.
That's stupid. Right?
Or do we all agree? Are we all in agreement? That's stupid. Sure.
Oh. And I think the older you get, the more you feel that you have value. And maybe banging a guy in the bathroom isn't really adding to your value.
That doesn't lose value. As a person. That adds value to.
But if it's something that you enjoy and you're getting something out of it just as much as the other person is, why isn't that just acceptable? Why isn't it just like having a dessert or going to the movies or something else that you find fun? Why does it have to come with all sorts of baggage?
I think because that starts to ruin it's not as fun because of those feelings.
I see. Okay. Women are so complicated.
We're complicated, yes.
Here's the thing. What we want is we want phone calls from you. And we want to specify this particular New Year's resolution. It doesn't have to be a New Year's resolution, but you want to be less of a slut.
You've been trying to curtail.
Right. So what we're looking for is the least amount of time from the time you met someone until you were doing the rusty trombone. That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-106. You know, it doesn't have to be the rusty trombone, but from the time you met them until the time you were having sex with them, what's the shortest amount of time?
Now, we're looking for men and women, right? This is
yes.
both.
Yes.
Okay. So you met someone and had sex in 4 hours from the time you met them? 2 hours? Or how about the caller that we took on our first day back from vacation that took even less than that? So what happened? That was your New Year's resolution. 2013, this is the year I'm not going to give it up to every guy I meet. What happened? What went wrong?
I slept with the bouncer in the backseat of his car at 1 a.m.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, Jennifer. Was this a bouncer that you had just met New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Her New Year's resolution was to be less of a slut. At 1 a.m., she was in the... Not even at his home. She was in the back seat of the bouncer's car.
This story has everything. It's not just the amount of time, because I know plenty of people that have met someone and have sex with them 4 hours later. It's that it's a bouncer and
sure.
it's in the back of a car.
Right. It's got everything.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
It's just slut.
Yeah. And you don't mean that in a negative way, though, right?
Of course not. Of course not.
So 1-800-520-1067, the shortest amount of time is what we're looking for from the time you laid eyes on each other to the time you just laid each other. That's the question. And by the way, I'd like to say this is Bean. I don't like to brag. Sometimes I'll get a woman into bed within 4.5 years.
Nope. Don't believe it.
And it's a one-time thing.
Don't believe it.
Let's try Raphael to kind of get us started on the conversation. 1-800-520-1067. I think Raphael has a story we can all enjoy. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Kevin, Bean, Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa.
You swap thing.
5 minutes outside the club. I guess I was her last resort. And parking lot, done, left in morning.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
So you had, had you even gone into the club?
Or were you leaving?
No, we were leaving.
You were leaving, okay.
So it was closing time.
I guess, I don't know, she just saw me, and if you know... We started flirting, talking, one thing led to another, and next thing you know, I kicked the panties.
Well, listen to you. I mean, how could anyone resist? All right. I want to know. I'm fascinated by this. So you guys are walking out of the club. You both, come up empty-handed that night. You just saw each other, and there was mutual attraction, or did you see her and think she was cute and start talking to her? How did it unfold?
I guess it's the booze. The booze was talking.
Right? Yeah,
that's a lot of it.
That is a lot of it. I think that's a factor that we should ask every person, too. Did booze have something to do with
it? It plays a big factor, especially in the middle of the night. It's dark, can't see nothing.
Sure, yeah.
How did you find a place 5 minutes after you met her to have sex? Did you just take her to the car?
Yeah, it's tinted windows, man. Get them.
Yeah, get tinted windows, people.
Tinted windows.
I sure will.
If you take anything away from today's show, it's get tinted windows.
Now, that's not another sex position on Kevin's list, is it? The tinted windows, is it?
It's dark in the back, so.
Yeah, we hear you, Raphael. We hear you.
All right, Raphael. What a smooth talker.
Yeah.
Who's shocked that Raphael ever gets a woman?
Well, here's the thing. I think sometimes you can just put it all on the woman. Like, this girl just wanted to get laid.
Right,
she
exactly.
saw Raphael. He was a lucky dude to be in the right place at the right time.
Right place, right time. Oh, you have a penis? You'll do.
Right.
That kind of thing. All right, Chad, you hang on. Jamie as well. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. By the way, Fun just announced this morning is going to be, no surprise, they're nominated for like a million Grammys, but they are going to be performing on the show coming up on February 10th. Mumford & Sons, Kevin, your favorites are also going to be there.
Fantastic.
Rihanna, Black Keys, Taylor Swift, all performing the Grammys again on February the 10th. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We're talking about the shortest amount of time What are we down to, by the way? Well, I guess 5 minutes is going to be tough to beat from Raphael, the last caller. But we're looking for situations where you meet somebody, and then like an hour later, you're having sex. Like, there's not a lot of courtship going on there. It's really just, I now know you, and I now want you.
I was thinking while we were playing that song that it's much easier for girls than guys.
Oh, yeah.
If a girl decides she wants to get laid, okay, it's done. She can find somebody instantly. If it's a guy, he's got to work the whole room like crazy. It isn't fair.
But most girls, though, even most girls don't even want to have sex like within an hour, though. Most girls want to get to know the person a little
bit.
So
but
when
if,
it does happen, it's pretty unusual, I think.
We can, but we got to lower standards to do it, you know.
That's very true.
Not like we're finding
exactly.
Brad Pitt, that's true.
Yeah. Right. So, Jamie, we lost you for some reason, but please give us a call back. We want to hear your Las Vegas story. In the meantime, though, let's go to Chad. Chad's on line one. He joins us at 1-800-520-1067. Chad, thank you for holding on. Let's hear your story.
Yeah, I went to a dive bar after work one day, saw a hot cougar, sat next to her, bought her a drink. Half hour later, she said, you know what? You want to get out of here? I said, sure do. Went to a room, and she paid.
Nice.
Really?
Wait, did you say she paid you?
She paid for the room.
She paid,
paid for the room.
Okay. All right. So you were, again, like Raphael, right place, right time. She was there looking for some young dude, right?
Apparently. I guess I got lucky and he was me.
Good enough.
Yeah, you did 30 minutes later.
You did have the stones to walk up and sit next to her and start talking. All right.
Buy her a drink. Yeah.
But you got lucky that she was looking for somebody to take back to the room.
I guess so. All right. 30 minutes.
All right. I hear you.
Well done, Chad. Thank you so much. Let's go to Heather. Let's get the ladies' perspective on this one. Heather is on line two, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Lisa Mayer.
Hi there. Yep.
How long?
Can you hear us?
So it was about an hour and a half, and he was helping my roommate move in and walked by and said, hey, I like your bed.
Hey, I like your bed.
Nice opening line.
Wow, what a line.
And I said, yeah, well, it's my bed. I'm in college. I'm going to be having a queen-size bed. He said, well, it looks like I'm going to be sleeping in it. So an hour and a half later.
No kidding.
Is that right? That worked.
Yep, it worked. We were together for 5 years.
Wow.
Guys, no kidding.
Guys, write it down. Nice bed.
Yeah, nice bed. It works.
Now, let me ask you this question. I don't know if you're going to be able to answer because I don't know if you can remember what you were thinking that day. But is it likely that you were thinking this guy's hot and I'm horny and I'm just going to bang it out and I'll never see him again? Or did you have some idea, hey, this is the kind of guy that I might like to stick around and have a relationship with?
Oh, I totally thought this was just going to be banging out and wave.
Mm-hmm. How about that? In 5 years, you guys were together after meeting like that. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
You're the best, Heather.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. And by the way, all Heathers are hot. We've established that, too. So that was a very lucky dude. All right. Let's try. Let's go to Dave real quick. Dave's on line three here. He's got a story even faster, if you can believe it. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, where were you in this happened, Dave?
Okay, first of all, she didn't have to lower her standards, okay? I was in the peak of my life. Mentally, physically,
all right,
sexually.
Listen, don't take it personally.
You're not anymore, I can tell.
Right.
All right, tell us about the good old days, Dave.
Okay, so I was in college at a house party, and, you know, there's people dancing in the backyard. I was on the inside. Just having a conversation, and some random girl, she's amazingly gorgeous, obviously, comes up and grabs me, and she goes, come on, let's go. I was like, I'm in the middle, and she's like, no, let's go now, and pulls me away.
Why would you say, oh, I'm in the middle of? You said she was really hot and she grabbed your arm. Go with her.
Exactly. That's what I did. I went with her. So we go start dancing, and I think she was just trying to test if I had, like, good hip moves to have sex or something, because after 10 minutes, she was like, let's go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, she was checking you out. She was making sure that you would be good in other ways.
Right.
Exactly. And then so we were walking to my house, and then, like, on the walk, she goes, you know, I'm 30 years old, right? And I was like, okay. And she goes, yeah, I have two kids. And now I'm thinking,
whoa!
MILF. Hell yeah. and so we go to the house to have sex. And then, like, 2 weeks later, I get introduced to her as, like, one of my girlfriend's friends. And she's, like, younger than I am and in college. And I don't know why she lied to me and told me that.
But she was one of your girlfriend's friends?
Yeah, well, not, like, a close friend or anything. But
that's
wow. So hold on a second.
Funny.
So she told you she was 30 and had two kids, but she wasn't.
Exactly.
Dave, that's not weird. It's a perfectly good reason for that. That's because she never wanted to see you again.
That's what I'm thinking.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, Dave. Sorry, Dave. Sorry you had to find out all these years later, but I think Kevin is absolutely right. Thank you for the call. Wow, we only have time for a couple more. Let's try another Dave. David, he's on line 6 now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. David, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, David.
Lisa May.
Hello.
Is that how you start?
The fastest that I ever did it was probably less than 5 minutes.
I was walking
into a bar. A girl was walking out of the bar. We chatted for a few minutes and ended up following her over to her place and having sex.
And what was it in the conversation that clicked so fast with you two?
She was drunk?
Probably that she was hammered and she was leaving and I was sober and I was walking in to meet some friends and I thought that having sex was a lot more interesting than meeting my friends.
I think you made the right call.
You're a very smart man, David.
That's amazing. Yes, I mean, you're not even in the bar and you meet somebody to have sex with. That's
I didn't even
strong.
Go into the bar.
All right.
I literally rolled up. I was walking in. This chick was walking out.
Love it.
And we just started talking. And like I said, you know, less than a few minutes later, I was in my car. She was in her car. I followed her to her place. Had sex and then left.
Yep. got all that the first time. But thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. All right. Let's do one more. Travis on line one. What are we at? 5 minutes?
That's
the shortest so far. Let's see if Travis can beat that. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's Travis. Hello.
Shortest amount of time from meeting to banging.
Mine was literally 2 minutes.
How did that happen?
How do you make that happen in 2 minutes?
Pretty much some friends came over to my house in my garage. We were hanging out, drinking all night. And another friend came over later, and I was drunk at 2 in the morning and played the drums for literally a minute. And she just goes up, says, "I think you're cute. I like the way you play the drums." And that was it.
And then you went to the bedroom. So 2 minutes.
Yeah, she literally walked in, loved it.
She knew what she wanted.
Out. Yeah, she knew.
Wow. Yeah, nothing to do with your drums.
No, really.
No. I was wasted.
I've heard the expression, give the drummer some, my whole life, but I never actually heard it pay out like this. That's nice.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I think that's the only time it ever did pay out like that.
Yeah, strong.
Well, don't tell that second half of the story, Travis. It makes it less.
Ralph Garman is here. Physically, Ralph Garman.
How dare you, sir?
I don't know
Part
about
of Ralph
otherwise.
Garman physically is in the other room as well.
Yeah. I can't stop throwing up.
Really?
I've been throwing for like 20 minutes now.
Let's get Ralph on the air more today, Kevin. Let's bring him in for all the segments, shall we? First, though, 7:55, time for the showbiz beat, and I understand a little something-something for the kids.
A little something for the kids. How about Mama?
Yay!
We've got passes to the advanced K-Rock screening of Guillermo del Toro's new film, Mama. Happens on January the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16. Mama is in theaters everywhere Friday, January the 18th, but if you're one of the lucky callers, first 5 callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you will see it before anybody else.
And this is about Honey Boo Boo's mom, June, right?
No.
Mama? Not exactly.
In fact, it's about 2 young children left alone in a forest for 5 years after their mother supposedly dies.
How did they make it? How did they survive?
How do they survive out there? Like, when they find them, they're feral. And their aunt and uncle take them in to try to make them human again, basically, get them back into society. But there's some strange essence around them that keeps intruding in their family life.
What's going on over here, Mom?
Yeah. It's Mom.
Thank you, Huel.
Mom's still there. Oh, this looks terrifying, this movie. If you'd like to see it, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers to get through, we get a pair of tickets to our K-Rock Advance screening of Mama.
Sir, you've seen Mama. What did you think?
I pooped my pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is magical.
This is amazing. Wow, you whistle. Yeah, Hauser was the best.
This definitely calls out to me.
Yeah, sure. The Oscar nominations are announced tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
We're going to find out who is nominated for that coveted award, but this morning we get an even better award, in my opinion. The Razzie nominations were released today.
Oh, fantastic.
The Golden Raspberry, of course, is the award given to the worst of film's achievements in the past year. It's their 33rd annual, by the way. Here are your nominations for the 2013 Golden Raspberry Awards. Worst Picture,
Battleship, The Oogie Loves,
What?
That's My Boy, A Thousand Words, and The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. God bless them.
Do they just do that just to tick off the
Probably.
Twilight
I think
fans.
They do, yeah.
Because I'm sure it's a bad movie, but it's nowhere near as bad as the other ones in that category, right?
Yeah.
It has to at least be competent filmmaking.
Yeah.
Worst director, Sean Anders for That's My Boy, Peter Berg for Battleship, Bill Condon for The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. Tyler Perry's nominated for two projects, Good Deeds and Medea's Witness Protection. He directed both of those. And John Putch for Atlas Shrugged Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that was the thing.
Kevin, you have to be deeply offended to see your Battleship on this list. You
I like
that
movie,
right?
I did like it.
I remember that. Yeah.
It was loud. I like it good.
Loud movie. Worst actress, Katherine Heigl for One for the Money. Mila Jovovich for Resident Evil Retribution. Tyler Perry in the Worst Actress category for Medea's Witness Protection. Kristen Stewart for Twilight. And Barbara Streisand for The Guilt Trip. Worst nice. Actor, Nicolas Cage, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. Come on. He peed fire.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy for A Thousand Words. Robert Pattinson for Twilight. Tyler Perry again for Alex Cross and Good Deeds. And Adam Sandler for That's My Boy. Worst supporting actress, Jessica Biel for Playing for Keeps. Brooklyn Decker for Battleship. Ashley Greene for The Twilight Saga. Jennifer Lopez, What to Expect When You're Expecting, and Rihanna for Battleship.
Wow.
Worst supporting actor, David Hasselhoff for Piranha 3D. Taylor Lautner for The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. Liam Neeson for Battleship. Nick Swarsden for That's My Boy. And Vanilla Ice for That's My Boy. A lot of nominations for That's My Boy this year. So.
Adam Sandler has become quite a favorite of the Razzies in recent years.
He has worked hard to earn his reputation with the Razzies. So you can see all the nominations online, but those are the highlights. And television news. It's great news for us people. CBS TV has announced a new show called The Test.
The Test.
It is a syndicated show produced by Dr. Phil and his son, which will use various tests like DNA tests or lie detectors to find out the truth about people. So you bring someone on and they give them the test.
Nope. Not going to do that.
Whether it's gossip or pregnancy or whatever's going on, the test.
That's just not good.
Will be the final say so.
If it was somebody besides Dr. Phil, I might consider it.
You're boycotting Phil?
Yeah.
Why would somebody go on that show and be subjected to...
Why do they go on Maury?
The to test. Be on TV.
You are not the father.
That isn't good for you.
Maury's been doing that for years. Celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin is 69 years old today. Actor J.K. Simmons from Law & Order and The Closer is 58. Dave Matthews turns 46 today. Joey Lauren Adams is 45. A.J. McLean of the Backstreet Boys is 35. Catherine Duchess of Cambridge, formerly known as Kate Middleton, is 31. And Nina Dobrev of The Vampire Diaries turns 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, real quick, here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show, we are looking for ladies. Well, we're always looking for ladies, but in particular, we want ladies to pick up the phone and give us a call right now. It's time for another Kevin and Bean scientific survey. We need you on the phone before we can tell you what we need your opinion on. But we discovered a long 1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number. We discovered a long time ago, and I guess this is science, right, Kevin?
That's right.
Anything can be decided for reals with best out of five.
Yeah, you take five calls, and whatever side gets three wins, and everybody else has to shut up. That's just the way. That's science.
It's as good as anything.
Yeah.
And it's science. So in other words, it's no longer up for debate once those three people, whoever the random jury is on the phone, have ruled, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so 1-800-520-1067. We'll get some ladies on the phone. Also looking ahead, by the way, to tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. Just briefly let me announce that this time tomorrow, our great friend Eddie Izzard is going to be in studio with us talking about his upcoming dates at the Largo. You know how funny Eddie is.
Oh, he's great.
And one of the smartest people in the world, too.
Yeah. Also, he's too smart. I feel too dumb around him.
I do, too. I do. There's nothing this dude can't do. Also, rapper and actor Common is going to be in studio with us tomorrow. We'll have a film writer on from the Los Angeles Times recapping the Oscar nominations, because that's tomorrow, and our weekly phone call with Dr. Drew. All right. We've got our ladies on the line right now, so let me tell you what the topic is we're going to be discussing. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, but the national championship college football game was on Monday night. And Alabama, by the way,
yeah,
you got to call them a dynasty at this point. They've won, what, 3 out of the last 4 years they've won the national championship.
Yeah, it's crazy.
One of the stats that I heard yesterday is their Alabama quarterback, A.J. McCarron, and I didn't source this myself, but this is what somebody
told me. See his woman?
We're going to get to that.
Did you see his woman?
A.J. McCarron.
Did you see that guy's woman?
Yes, I saw his woman.
His girlfriend?
Jeez.
The quarterback for Alabama has won more national championships, Kevin, than he has lost football games as a starter for Alabama.
My God.
I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, but did you see his girl?
The game was such a blowout that the announcers were looking for something to talk about. I think it was about...
Oh, this is where you're going. All right.
I think it got to be 35-0 at one point in the national championship game against Notre Dame, right? So at some point, they put the camera on A.J. McCarron, the quarterback's girlfriend, who not only is very pretty, she is drop-dead gorgeous. She is Miss Alabama. She's a model. And you couldn't invent a girl as pretty as her. She's just stunning. So Brent Musburger is on the TV like he do for ABC and has this to say about her.
Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, Miss Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
All right, so you hear that. Now, Mr. Musburger is a sports broadcasting legend, Lisa. He's 73 years old. What's your reaction when you hear his comments about this young lady in the stands?
It's a little over the top.
Did you see her?
I did. I saw a picture of her. I saw a picture of her, everyone's talking about her. Yeah, she's really attractive, but like, wow, woo, you guys, whoa, yeah. I mean,
it's a little creepy.
What's going on downstairs?
Was it creepy? You think it was creepy, Kevin?
No, I don't. Lisa
was a little creepy.
Do you think it was creepy, Lisa?
And he's in his 70s. Well, that makes it even more creepy.
Just because he's in his 70s doesn't make her any less attractive, though. I don't care whether he's 20 or 120. She's still hot.
But I think he's having action downstairs while he's talking. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Ew.
Well, that could be. And
I don't want to know that.
You don't want to think about that. But the guys he's talking to really need to know that.
She's very attractive.
But the guys he's talking to, the kids that are coming up in sports, they need to know that unless you're the quarterback, you don't get her. Because that's the case. That's true.
I think that
itself is science.
All right, let me ask you this, Lisa. And again, we're going to go to the ladies on the line here and find out what their opinion is. Let me ask you this. Do you think it crossed a line to the point where ESPN needed to, as they did late in the day yesterday, issue an apology for Brett Musburger's remarks?
Oh, no.
Come on.
No, I don't. That's stupid.
Really?
We always try to capture interesting storylines, and the relationship between an Auburn grad who is Miss Alabama and the current Alabama quarterback certainly met that test. However, we apologize that the commentary in this instance went too far, and Brent Musburger understands that.
He didn't say, look at those.
Right. He didn't say, I'm going to get me some of that.
No.
There's a lot of things that he didn't say.
That was implied, but...
So,
it was a little creepy because the way he said
and
it.
And he was kind of digging on the mom, too, I think.
He was.
He just mentioned her. I don't know. Look, here's the question that I'm going to ask the ladies in a moment when we go to them on the phones. Is it now offensive to comment that a woman is beautiful?
No.
I don't think so either, but...
I mean, he didn't come out. It wasn't the opposite where he goes, whoa, what a dog. What's the quarterback doing dating that ugly? It wasn't anything like that. He's commenting about her looks in a completely positive way. In a non-sexual way, too, by the way. He didn't say anything about sexy
Look at
time.
That rack. That's what he should have said.
He didn't say, what it must be like for that quarterback to go home to get some of that. You know, he didn't say, oh, she's going to be giving it up after this big game. I mean, he didn't say any
like
of that.
Like to get up under center on that one right there.
Yeah, he didn't say anything
snaps.
Creepy. He just talked about how pretty she was, right?
Yeah, it was over the top. And a little creepy, but certainly not apology worthy.
No, that's ridiculous.
Or offense worthy.
Well,
I would just laugh at him, really.
Then you tell me why ESPN issued an apology. They had to have gotten some heat from somebody in order to apologize, right?
I'm sure.
People complain about everything, but they should have said.
And corporations apologize.
Yeah.
Was what Brent Musburger said offensive in commenting on Miss Alabama's looks?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
It's science.
It is science. Let's start with Mary. She is on line one. Remember, it's best out of five. Mary, you've heard the evidence here. Were you offended by what Brett Musburger said on the broadcast Monday night?
No, I mean, it was a little pervy, but I mean, it's
it was fine. I don't think they should have had him apologize or anything.
There you go.
All right, not offensive.
A little pervy comes from the delivery and the person who says it. Like, right. For example, on thank you for the call, Mary. For example, on this show, most of us can say pervy things. Bean is the only one that crosses right into the creep threshold immediately.
Yeah.
How dare you? All right, so Mary says no apology necessary. How about Maria? Maria's up next on line two. Maria, you heard what Mr. Musburger had to say. Did it warrant an apology? Was it offensive?
I don't think it was offensive. It was definitely Uncle Creepy, but he didn't need to apologize for it.
I agree. I
think, all right, Uncle no
Creepy.
Apology.
Uncle Creepy, that's Bean. I like it.
Again, I'm just saying, let's all remember what he just said she was pretty. That was the extent
a
of
lot,
it, right? He said she
of,
was
wow.
pretty.
Whoa. Woo.
He spent 20 seconds talking about how attractive Miss Alabama is. This is a woman, by the way, who goes on national television in a bikini to become Miss Alabama.
Look,
it's now offensive if somebody thinks she's pretty?
Look, if I'm running the broadcast, afterwards I pull Brent over and I go, dude, you sounded like a fool.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, a little less of that. But as far as making a public an apology, that's ridiculous.
Why did ESPN apologize
I don't
then?
Know.
All right, so Maria says no, and I'm sorry, I forgot the other name. Mary also said no. Let's see what Christina says. Let's see if we go for a clean sweep. Christina, apology necessary or no?
Maybe just an apology for lackluster sports casting. But, you know, he had nothing else to come up with, but no, it wasn't offensive.
She's talking about it. The next time you're calling a game where it's 35-0, find out what you have left to talk about, by the way.
I know.
So no apology necessary. So all three ladies agree with us then that ESPN should not have issued an apology, it sounds like. Right, Christina?
Absolutely.
All right. There you go.
All right. So let it be written. So let it be said. That's another Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
It's science.
Here's a great idea. What about all the people all over the country who think, I want to go out to Hollywood and make it in show business, but I don't know anyone out there and I don't have the first idea of what it takes to make it in show business? Why not write a book for them? How's that sound?
My advice is stay where you are.
Yes, don't do it. Don't come out here. It's hell.
If that's you, then have we got the book for you, 103 Ways to Get into TV by 102 Who Did, plus me. Jim McCarron is the author, and he joins us in studio right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jim. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Thank you so much. Doing well. Thank you.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, because you look exactly like Ralph Garman, did you guys come from the same street in Philadelphia at the same time? What happened?
No, Jim and I knew each other back in Philly. He not on the same street, but we grew up roughly in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim and I have been pals since we were teens.
You guys were bullies, weren't you?
We were not bullies.
I think you guys are bullies.
We were drunkards. We were wiseacres.
In Philadelphia, aren't drunkards bullies?
No, okay. Because everybody's drunk. Yes.
Now, Ralph, we have heard your story on the Kevin DeBeat Show about how you wanted to be an actor, like so many young men, and that's why you moved out to Hollywood and making a go of it. How about you? Jim, what was your story?
Well, I was in publishing. I had a degree in journalism from Temple University back in Philly, and I was in publishing for most of the 80s. And then life changed at the end of the decade, and I said, you know, what's the world going to be about? What do I want to do? And so at 29, I packed up and sold my house and moved out here with nothing.
Wow. Without a job.
Without a job.
Okay.
Now, you kind of had one tiny little inn. You had one person that you knew in all of Hollywood, right?
Not really. I knew one person who had come out to USC to get a degree in screenwriting, and I knew Ralph, of course, who had arrived about 2.5 years before I did.
Right. You weren't counting on the Ralph connection, though, were you?
Well, there was no connection there. I was bartending at the time,
right.
I couldn't help Jim.
Perhaps being a private eye of some kind.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So you lived through it and actually ended up making a career. And tell folks some of the jobs that you ended up doing in Hollywood.
I will point out, though, that my first day here was August 20th, 1989, which is famous for what?
August 20th, 1989. Should we know that?
We should. It's the day that Lyle and Eric Menendez killed their parents.
All right.
Wow. All right.
Jim, for full disclosure again, Jim is one of these guys who knows a ton of dates. And
that's what I do.
Has a sort of photographic memory when it comes to dates and occasions.
So sort of like worthless, but a lot of information.
Tons of worthless information.
Okay. I mean, he can recite for you the given TV schedule of any given day of the week and any given year. He can give you pretty much the entire TV guide rundown of what was
now,
on that
which
night.
Made me a freak until I realized it was job security.
That's
okay,
right.
Now
yes.
Tell us about the job where you used that. Bean asked you what you've done in town.
It took us several years to get to the position, but I started at CBS in 1993. On April 12th.
See what I mean?
5:37 p.m.
Steel Magnolias was the CBS Sunday movie the night before.
I'm not kidding. This is
What's
real.
What's happening? That's true?
That's true.
All right. So then?
And I was in time between that and program planning, which is sort of tapping into the database in my head. And that was 93. And for the first 2 years, I split departments. And then when Leslie Moonves came in 1995 and started to clean house, he said, no splitting of departments. And you're, you know, more valuable in program planning and scheduling. So I ended up leaving in 2006 as vice president of scheduling for CBS.
Wow. That's an actual real-life Hollywood job. I mean, you were
a real job,
a bigwig.
And we thank Norman Lear for it. He's the one who set it up. Not set it up. He set the wheels in motion. So
name five Norman Lear shows. Go.
Well, All in the Family, Good Times, Sanford and Son, Hotel Baltimore, Mary Hartman.
There's your man. There he is. There's Jim.
It's ridiculous. Right. Don't ever play Trivial Pursuit with this guy.
So you.
A.K.A. Pablo.
All right. We're moving on.
The powers that be.
All right. Take it easy.
You have
I'm sorry.
Done...
I got a little lightheaded there for a minute.
You have done exactly what the people who buy your book want to do, which is come out to Hollywood and make a career in entertainment. And you took what you've learned, and you've also taken the lessons from, as you mentioned, 100 other people, how they made it in Hollywood, and you kind of compiled them all together. It's kind of a primer for people, like where to start if you don't know anybody or have never been to Los Angeles before. It's a great idea, Jim.
Thank you. I mean, the roots were in the fact that I was teaching in Chicago, and the students I had heard enough about follow your heart and trust your instincts and stuff that is kind and sincere but gets them nowhere.
Right, sure.
And you know, look to L.A. either as an unknown entity. So literally, what do I do when I get there?
Right.
Don't tell me to believe in myself. Where do I go, north or south, when I land at the airport? Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. Those were some of the questions.
So did you come out here to be in front of the camera, behind the camera, or did you not care?
I came out here to be behind the camera. I guess for about 10 minutes, I convinced myself I was going to be a TV writer.
Okay.
A sitcom writer. And I did with this person who was a friend of mine who was learning at USC, I did write a script for the old Newhart show, the one set in Vermont.
Okay.
And we didn't know that it was interesting. We didn't know that you couldn't do this at the time, and we just did it, and we got an agent to read it, and it made its way to the showrunner, which
– No kidding.
Which went nowhere, but we didn't know that was as good as it was.
Yeah, right.
That you had accomplished all you could.
Yeah, that was as good as it got.
Yeah.
And then I knew I really belong more behind the scenes than I do writing sitcoms.
Now, this is a serious question, sort of, because we run into this all the time with people who ask us about getting into showbiz. I mean, the answer for most people is don't, right, is choose something else. It is a very long climb if you plan to make it in the entertainment industry. It's not for most people, for reals, right?
I wouldn't say that, especially now, because I mean, I understand the thought behind it, but now with entertainment so decentralized and with so many people sort of waking up in the morning and taking a photo and then being in show business,
right?
it's less formidable than it was. And of the 102 people I interviewed, 103 being me.
You interviewed yourself?
Well, I tend to do most days anyway. Ralph does that.
Yes. His entire conversation is with himself.
All right.
And I live alone, and I'm never alone.
So the 103 tips are from 102 and you.
Correct.
Different people. Okay.
Correct. I think only three said don't come into the business.
Is that right?
One, pretty much one was kidding, flat out kidding. The other two said if it doesn't really move you and drive you and you're not passionate about it, those words, then consider something else. But nobody said don't do it.
How about that?
Well, the truth of the matter is if somebody says don't do it and you still want to do it, I mean, that's kind of essential in order to make it, because you're going to be facing a lot of rejection anytime you start in a new career or something like that. And you have to just press on. You have to go past those people who tell you no in order to get anywhere.
Well, Ralph knows those stories, and I certainly took 4 years to get my job at CBS, and I don't know what I would have done had it not happened. And there are days when you're quite frustrated paying, you know, last month's bills with next month's check and going into the couch for change for crackers for lunch.
What kind
of
people
I went
did
to the
you
couch
interview?
For crackers for lunch. I was just skipping.
You went in the couch for crack. That's very different. Yeah. What kind of people did you interview in the book? What was the range of different types of people?
We need to take a break. We need to take a break.
You're a bad man.
So, 103.
Ralph just stopped vomiting long enough to ask
the
question, and now you're going to cut him off.
Barely keeping down the coke,
and I may start.
I'm going to give him a chance to go empty.
Thank
then
you.
Come back, and we'll continue with Jim McCarron. 103 ways to get into TV when we get back on.
Author Jim McCarron's in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His book is available from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's called 103 Ways to Get into TV. And basically, Jim, what you've done is you've kind of answered the basic questions like, once I get off the plane at LAX, which direction do I drive and who's my first phone call if I want to make it in showbiz, right?
Correct.
Ralph, you had a question just before we broke.
Yeah, I read the book, and for those people who are trying to literally to get into television, regardless of what aspects you're interested in, it is an invaluable resource. But I was curious, Jim, what's the gamut of people, what kinds of people did you interview for the book? From
I did a lot of assistants. I interviewed a lot of assistants because that's the power in L.A.
Is that right?
That's the true power. It's, they're the gatekeepers, and they are the executives of tomorrow. Which sounds cliche, but it's true. And then I interviewed an Emmy-winning director. I interviewed the author of 500 Days of Summer, the co-script writer.
Okay.
Because as explained in the book, what I didn't know after I saw that movie and I went onto Facebook talking about what a good movie it was, somebody messaged me back on Facebook and they said, well, do you know who wrote that? And I said, no. And the answer was, he sat outside your desk at CBS for 6 months. Outside your office at CBS.
He was your assistant?
He was not my assistant. He was the assistant to the president of CBS, whose office adjoined mine, but her desk was closer to
Wow.
And that's where he wrote it.
At the desk.
On the job.
At the desk.
That's while
funny.
Not working.
And a lot of the kinds of advice that not only you give, Jim, but the people you interview in the book give, it is common sense, but I think it's worth people reading it before they try to get into a new career. I mean, about networking, for instance, about not burning bridges.
Correct.
And those types of things. I mean, are those the kinds of tragic mistakes that people make and then they sit around in their apartment all day wondering why they can't get work?
Well, I don't know what they do in their apartments the rest of the day. I don't think we want to know. But yes, and I don't think it just applies to show business, but it's absolutely the common sense things. And keep in mind, again, it's not as if the students I spoke to who showed a lot of interest in this material were in Chicago, and they don't really have a grasp, it seems, even in today's day and age, of life in Los Angeles or in Hollywood, however you want
right.
to clarify it. Because they would say, well, is it really – it's really backstabby there, isn't it? And should I go because it's really mean? And I don't know what you're watching, but, you know. As Ralph pointed out, when I myself was trying to figure out – and I remember this clearly.
What was the date and time?
July of 89. It was a month before I left, and I was thinking about coming out to L.A. from my home in Knoxville, Tennessee, of all places, where I spent my 20s. And Ralph said, L.A. is what you make of it. Because I was intimidated by the thought of it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it was framed in such a way that sort of – made it easier that L.A. is what you make of it.
I totally agree with that. Absolutely agree with that.
L.A. is like a smorgasbord. You can just pick and choose from any number of things and like make your own city out of it. It doesn't really have
right.
a personality that's imposed upon you.
But I think the problem in what a lot of people run into is that it's a small amount of jobs and it's a mountain of people that want it.
And there's no what would be considered standard way of breaking in.
Yeah.
There's no. I mean, if there's an application process, there's not. And if there is a portal where you can enter your resume, there's not. I mean, there are, but nobody really gets jobs that way.
And you can't just show up with a script, for instance, and expect anybody to read it. I mean, even if you've got something, that's a tough way to go, right?
True, except for that one day that somebody shows up with a script and gets somebody to read it, and it sells. And
that's
I'm
the
not
being for everywhere they say you can't get in. Right. Someone has gotten in that way. That's the weird part.
It's just not you.
Yeah, right. It's always the next guy. It's the other story.
But I think, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
I think what I tried to do is just let them know that, you know, it's a town where on many different levels, as Ralph said, you can make it, and that even making it can have different definitions, and just showing up is making it to a degree, because a lot of people think about showing up and never get here.
Yeah, right.
But it's about where to live. It's about how much money to bring.
Which restaurants to wait at?
That does come up.
I know.
If only because some make the mistake of coming out here without a car, so they'll need to think about getting a job as a waiter or a bartender, and thus we'll have to think about doing it in Hollywood because they'll be living there and they'll need to walk to work.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's little things like where not to live, what time of year not to come out here, how much money to bring, and how to begin networking and making friends. And what many, many, many people say in the book, which is once you even get a job of any kind, make yourself interesting in another area so that the job is not your life.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I thought the other thing that a lot of people brought up, and I'm sure there's resistance from folks who decide, hey, I'm going to be an actor or I'm going to be a director or whatever, and they don't want to start at the bottom. You know, we have that. It seems like especially a lot of young people today have that, I want the rocket ride to success without putting in the hard work. almost every person in your book that you interviewed, Jim, started out as an intern or started out as a page or started out, I mean, literally getting coffee and sweeping and doing all the types of things that they probably thought they were too good at, but were smart enough to have the long view and realize, I just got to get my foot in the door somewhere.
And even those jobs were accidentally attained, which is, of course, the other thing about the book is you'll never – you always get a, you know, a job or a career from through the most unexpected means. But the number one piece of advice, and there is a top 10 at the back of the book of the best pieces of advice from these 102 people.
Tell me so I don't have to read the whole first part of the book.
Number one is get an internship.
Really?
Without a doubt. Paid That's or unpaid. One. If you can afford it, get an unpaid one. But paid or unpaid, get an internship. I know somebody who graduated from college. She's in the book. She showed up here. She went to get an unpaid internship, and it was for students only. She had been out of school already.
Right.
So she went to the Valley and got a night course.
Enrolled in one course.
Enrolled in one course for $20, came back and got the internship, and then went on to an executive career.
How about that? How about that? A lot of great advice. I mean, it's a great primer if you're interested in this. Of course, you wrote the book for people all over the country, but there are a lot of people listening right now who are trying to figure out how to knock on the right door. It's called 103 Ways to Get into TV. The author's name is Jim McCarron's. You can buy it through Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Hey, before
just
you go,
Amazon.com,
Jim,
I think.
Just Amazon.
No more Barnes & Noble. Sorry. Okay.
But it is on Kindle as well.
Great. Before you go, I want to throw a couple of dates at you because I'm really more fascinated in
this is right. This is Dean's category, right?
I'm more fascinated, and these are kind of easy, but I want to test you out before we have
Asperger twins. Now we're going to talk to each other.
Is it going to be September 15th, 1959?
No. What was September 15th, 1959?
Wasn't somebody here born on September 15th, 1959?
I don't think
so. No. But that's,
you don't know everything, do you?
I picked some pretty big ones that I think you'll do, but we'll see. Okay, January 28, 1986.
Challenger.
Yeah, Challenger blip. Okay. August 31st, 1997.
Princess Diana.
All right, one more.
Wow.
May 14th, 1998.
1998. Was that the finale of Seinfeld?
Yes, it was. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
That's for real, people. That's for real.
It's also when Sinatra died.
All right. Yes, take it easy. Now you're just showing off. Great to meet you, Jim. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you all very much.
Adam Carolla joins us next here on the show. Hey, Ralph, last night I thought about you because I was watching our friend Jeffrey Ross. He's back with The Burn, you know. The Burn is back on TV.
Yes.
Okay. Just such a hilarious show. So funny. And he was talking about you and your friend Jim McCarron, who was just in here, talking about your hometown of Philadelphia.
Oh, awesome.
Did you know that Philly was in the news?
No, I did not.
Hey, you know what? Philadelphia has an STD epidemic. 22 Philly high schools have just installed condom dispensers. Yeah, it's true. 1 in 8 teenagers in Philly has tested positive for chlamydia or gonorrhea. It's probably the only test these f***ing kids can pass. Hey, Philadelphia, if you want your kids to wear condoms, show them the movie Philadelphia.
Now that, I just think that is just, that's over the line right there.
Wow.
So congratulations for you and your peeps.
1 in 8. Wow. Kids are getting a lot busier than when I was back home in Philly, I'll tell you that much. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Tomorrow morning, the Oscar nominations will be announced, but today is equally important because the Razzie nominations were announced. The Golden Raspberry, of course, is the award they give to the worst of movies. Oscar's the best, Razzie's the worst, and sure. It's more fun to talk about the bad movies than it is the good ones sometimes. Here are some of your nominees. Worst Picture, Battleship, The Oogie Loves in The Big Balloon Adventure. Oh, The Oogie Loves.
What the hell is
Remember
that?
Remember when that came out? That was a kid's movie.
It was a little kid's movie. When that came out, we all said the same thing, which is, what the hell is that?
That's an Oogie Love.
It came like...
Is that a doll or a cartoon or something? We had never heard of these characters, and they kept treating it as if they were beloved characters from our childhood. Oh, finally, you get to see the Oogie Loves on the big screen.
Came out on a Friday. I think they pulled it on a Saturday.
I believe they did. That's My Boy, Adam Sandler's film.
Sure.
1,000 Words, Eddie Murphy. Remember, he only has 1,000 words. Once he uses up 1,000 words, he dies.
Yeah, I never saw that.
And he talks a lot, so he's really in trouble. That got made.
Yeah, that happened.
Someone pitched that. Okay, there's a guy who only has 1,000 words, and then he dies. I love it.
Sold.
Get Eddie Murphy on the phone. And The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 2. Also nominated. Worst Actress, Katherine Heigl in One for the Money. What the hell was One for the Money? Was that where she was the bounty hunter?
Yeah, so
I think so.
So bad.
Yeah. With Gerard Butler, right?
No.
No. She did one with Gerard, by the way. I don't think it was that one.
That's a different one. Okay, sorry.
Mila Jovovich for Resident Evil Retribution. Tyler Perry in the Worst Actress category for Madea's Witness Protection. Kristen Stewart for Twilight, Barbara Streisand for The Guilt Trip, Worst Actor, Nicolas Cage for Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. I take umbrage for that. I got a guy inside me. He's going to come out! Love that scene. Eddie Murphy for 1,000 Words, Robert Pattinson for Twilight, Alex Perry for Alex Cross and Good Deeds, and Adam Sandler for That's My Boy. So you can find all the nominations online. But I thought I'd give you some of the highlights of the Razzies as they were announced this morning. Sad news, Tony Lip, who is best known for his portrayal of mobster Carmine Lupertazzi on The Sopranos, died at the age of 82. No word on the cause of death, but he had been in failing health. He was one of these guys who just had a career playing gangsters. He was in The Godfather, Goodfellas, Raging Bull, Donnie Brasco. It'd be hard to find a mob movie that Tony Lip didn't appear in. He was a good actor, and sad news that he's going to be passing. And we're just talking to my buddy Jim McCarron's about television. One of my favorite television events of the year is coming up in March, Paley Fest 2013. This is when the Paley Center for Media does their festival of television shows where they bring you in. You get to meet the cast and creators of your favorite TV shows every year. It's a great lineup of some of your favorite shows. I go to a lot of these, and you're going to want to, too. You can go to paleyfest.org, I believe it is, for more information. But here's your lineup for this year. Paleycenter.org is the website. Buy your tickets soon because they sell out every year. Here's the lineup of shows they will be spending evenings with in March. The Walking Dead.
Oh, nice.
That would be a great one to attend. Revolution, Kevin, one of our favorite shows.
I like that.
Once Upon a Time, The Newsroom, that would be a good sit. Community, The New Normal, Parenthood, The Mindy Project, Arrow, one of my favorite shows, Nashville.
Don't love it.
Oh, come on, Nashville's great.
So good. Nashville. So good, Kevin.
Dallas, the rebooted Dallas, will be discussed at the Paley Center. New Girl, The Big Bang Theory, Two Broke Girls, and American Horror Story Asylum.
We like that one, too.
So, good lineup. You can go to
Fun Evenings.
As I mentioned, paleycenter.org, and you can find out how to get tickets there. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dick Enberg, legendary sports announcer, is 78 years old today. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin turned 69. J.K. Simmons, very talented actor from Law & Order, and The Closer, is 58. He also plays the guy in those insurance commercials, the one who's teaching everybody. Is it Farmers Insurance? Where he's who's always holding the classrooms for the insurance salesman. Funny commercials. Dave Matthews is 46. Joey Lauren Adams from Chasing Amy and The Breakup is 45. AJ McLean from Backstreet Boys is 35. Kate Middleton, also known as Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, is 31. And Nina Dobrev from The Vampire Diaries is 24 years old. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Oh, hold on. Let me hit my button.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Everyone wait for the button.
Bean's going to hit the button. Where's my Hulhauser? Come on.
I've got to apologize to everybody. When we got back to the station and started editing this story and I started looking at the tapes for the first time, I realized that during most of the interview with Mr. Zetlian, I'm eating. I even talk with my mouth full some of the time. But the baklava was tasty.
Well, there's a good point right there. Adam Carolla joins us on the phone once again today. How do you feel being partially responsible for Mr. Hauser's death, Ace Man?
I like to think myself as solely responsible. Well, as I said on my podcast, he will be missed. His show won't. I've separated the man from his work. And if anyone misses Huell Hauser, there's literally thousands of hours of him wandering through the San Fernando Valley that's archived, and you can watch it anytime you like.
I do love that Adam is a guy who for decades wondered how Huell Hauser could get a television show and stay on the air, right? I mean, it's been one of the central mysteries of your life, right, Adam?
Well, yeah, and then I figured out the reason he's on the air is because he's not competing against Jimmy Kimmel or Jon Stewart.
Right.
We're paying for him to be on the air. So every coach in the NFL could keep his job forever. Andy Reid wouldn't have to go anywhere if every year he was just 8-8, and so was everyone else in the league.
Yeah, true. Right.
Bill
yeah.
Belichick going 14-2 means Andy Reid's got to go packing.
Yeah, that's good true. Point. Competition. Adam Carolla, by the way, has some great upcoming dates, including the Irvine Improv on January 24th. He's going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena in February. He's got the Loveline Tour with Dr. Drew, and a live podcast at Amalfi Ristorante and Bar. That's on North La Brea, and that's coming up starting Wednesday, January 16th. You can get all the information, plus buy yourself some mangria at AdamCarolla.com. Right now it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with number three and working my way up to number one. First off, New Year's resolution. I did some, it was gut check time. I did some soul searching.
Is that right? That's not like you.
I know, but I was in my car, and I was driving to La Crescenta with my daughter in the back to get her some Froyo. How fat and lazy are we that we had to shorten Froyo? We can't even burn the extra calories of saying frozen and yogurt. We're getting fatter even with our speech, but I'm driving, I thought, you know, I could lose 9 or 10 pounds, and then I thought, I could look people in the eye when I'm talking to them, and I could be a little more nurturing around the house with my kids and my wife, and I thought about all that stuff, and then I thought, wait a minute, there's people out there who are lighting bums on fire, who are trafficking in child pornography, and there's ethnic cleansing, and then it dawned on me, my New Year's resolution is for everyone else to get their ass together.
I like it.
Oh, interesting.
So you, a lot of other people worse than you, let's have them work on themselves.
I could lose 9 pounds, but there's someone out there thinks it's a good idea to light hobos on fire. Don't you think he's... We got bigger fish to fry than me and my waistband?
Well, but can't both happen is my question.
There's only one New Year's rezo.
I see. Okay.
Don't jinx it.
Did you call it a rezo?
Yeah, okay. Sorry. All right. Also, wow, I had a real heavy thought the other day. It dawned on me. You know, no better instrument for the punani than the guitar, right? Jimmy Page. No better way to meet chicks than the guitar.
Correct.
It's an aphrodisiac. Then I started thinking about the guy in the mariachi band with the giant guitar. Nobody gets less tail than him. And I know this guy had a plan. He saw the guy playing the regular size guitar and went, you know what? I'm going to supersize this bad boy. I'll get twice as much ass. Turns out he gets zero. There's never been a thing where, you know, if you drive a medium-sized car, you get some tail. You drive a big car, you get more. That guy did the math with the guitar.
Wow.
And then I kept thinking about it. I thought, and then the ukulele is the other one. That's the smallest guitar. So you get zero ass with the smallest guitar.
Right.
And zero ass. There's a sweet spot for guitar sizes that get you laid, is what I'm saying.
That's true.
And then I peeled the onion even more, and I thought, it's weird that the biggest people on the planet, the Samoan guys, the Hawaiian guys, play the smallest guitar in the world, the ukulele. They're 500 pounds. Their calves are wider than the guitar, yet they play the miniature guitar, and then the shortest, squattiest, smallest guys on the planet, the mariachi guy, plays the biggest guitar in the world.
Interesting. You have spent a lot of time thinking about this.
Right. Shouldn't we give the giant Mexican guitar to the Hawaiian guy and then take the ukulele away and give it to the squatty guy in the mariachi band?
I think I'm willing to accept that change. Absolutely, sure.
All right. And number one, not that we're going to do any better than my guitar man. Men's Health magazine, which, by the way, I'm now convinced it's just a gay rag.
Oh, I see. Oh, just for guys to look at, yeah.
Well, their motto, teaspoon of semen a day keeps the doctor away.
I don't think that's their motto.
I've seen it right on the cover.
I do not think that.
Hand of God. Seen it.
I don't think you've seen that.
Number, sexiest woman alive, Katy Perry. No. I've said it many times. Great body, but looks like she's thinking about something stupid, right? Doesn't she always look like she has a stupid thought brewing?
I don't know. I find her attractive, but it's pretty hard to say hottest.
Not the hottest when you're thinking about something stupid. I'd like to just try an experiment. Let's get Katy Perry to think about something smart, like my guitar theory. Her face changes.
Sure, why not? Why the hell not?
I'm not sure she could get her head around your guitar theory.
Get her publicist on the blower, Bean.
Adam Carolla is doing a live podcast at the Amalfi Ristorante and Bar. By the way, I thought things were going great in the Ace world. Why are you playing a restaurant and bar, Adam? What's going on with that event?
It's my restaurant and my bar, and we're having a mangria party there.
Whoa, wow. What? Snap. Mm-hmm. You get the details on that coming up on AdamCarolla.com and, of course, upcoming dates at the Irvine Improv. And I know you moved a ton of mangria over the holidays. It's turning into a real thing. You're going to be able to get out of show business and just be like Francis Ford Coppola and just make wine for a living pretty soon here, Ace, the way it's going.
I'm growing the beard, and I've resolved to gain 9 pounds, so I'm heading that direction.
Good luck
AdamCarolla.com, that's where you go. Great to have you back on, sir. Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Have you guys been following the war of words between Charlie Sheen and Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa of the city of Los Angeles that's been going on after their big party hangout night in Mexico?
Just tangentially. I haven't really followed it closely.
Well, a lot of people have been concerned that maybe the mayor shouldn't be taking pictures with Charlie Sheen, especially when he's, you know, he did that nightclub opening, that place he owns down in Mexico, where it's kind of the one that got Charlie Sheen in trouble, where he said the F word, the homophobic right. slur, the F word. Same party, Mayor Villaraigosa was there, porn stars were there, and people are like, look, mayor, seriously, what's the deal? Why are you hanging out with this guy?
And there is a photo of just
– photo of them together, yeah.
Yeah, mayor and Charlie.
Charlie Sheen got his arm around the mayor. The mayor's like, look, I met him for 3 minutes. I take pictures with lots of people. It was no big deal. That was it. Then Charlie Sheen came out and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. It was way more than 3 minutes. The mayor was hanging out in my suite with a bunch of girls for about 2 hours. He's a terrific guy, a great mayor, and he can drink with the best of them. Quite a memorable night indeed, Charlie Sheen
spent more than 2 hours with him.
So, all right.
There's a big difference between I barely know the dude, I just had my photo taken with him, and I was partying and drinking with him in his hotel suite with a bunch of chicks, right? There's a big difference between those two. So who do you believe, based on what little we know about both of these guys personally?
Wow. Wow. I hate to say that I believe Charlie Sheen.
But the mayor is the one with something to protect. But Charlie has nothing to protect, so the mayor lies.
But if the mayor, the mayor has a public image, and you kind of get the idea the mayor would hang out for a couple of hours.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen says, look, I memorize 95 pages of dialogue a week. The last thing I am is memory challenged. We hung out for the better part of 2 hours. So that's Charlie Sheen's story. He's sticking to it. Let's see what Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says. We've got him on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin Amici Show. Hi, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, man.
Happy New Year. How do you feel it's going so far early here in January 2013?
So far, crap.
Crap.
Oh,
crap.
My hair's hurting. I had a long night last night.
No, is that right?
Winning.
I'm sorry.
Villaraigosa, you are a Vatican assassin. I'm winning.
I'm sorry, is Charlie Sheen there with you?
You see that? winning.
Mr. Mayor,
what?
Charlie
You're
Sheen
an F-16.
Is...
You have
Charlie
tiger blood.
Sheen
you have tiger
is
blood,
with
Mayor.
You right now? What's going on?
We're at a motel in Valencia.
Okay.
Plates off the ceiling.
Okay. But you said in the story that you only hung out for 3 minutes, took a picture, that's all it was. And
no, hey, shut up. Let me tell you how it went, okay?
Please. Oh, please do, yes, for the record.
I told them the truth, what really happened. I brought them down to my club down in Mexico, the Panocha Grande, okay? And we're partying. Hey, shut up, Omar.
What's the name of it?
Wait, there's a guy named Omar there in the motel room?
Oh, yeah, that's my friend, my sister, man. He gives me a lot of blow.
Okay.
Hey, the Panocha Grande is my new club. And I say, you know, lately I haven't been doing so good with the ladies. Lately I haven't been partying so good. I'm gonna call up my friend Charlie Sheen, really liven up the party. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Warlock. That's right. He's a rock star from space. Jack. So he comes down there in a Fiat. He's driving it around the club like crazy.
What?
He's got a bunch of porn stars in the back, and next thing you know, we're doing blow. We're having a good time. So I'm like, hey, my friend Charlie Sheen, we have a good time? And my publicist, she calls me up the next day. She said, you got to divorce yourself from this guy in the press because, you know, it doesn't look good for you as the mayor.
That's where the report came from.
Because he's got drugs and women and everything else.
You better believe he's got drugs and women. Why the hell do you want to have him up at a party without drugs and women? Winning.
All right, Charlie. Thanks. That's enough from you.
It was great. We were bobbing for apples and we were smoking crack. It was great.
All right, so those are two strange.
Bobbing for apples.
What do you mean?
I don't remember that.
Is that code? I thought you remembered everything, Charlie.
Oh, it's a great thing to do at a party. You know? Next
All right.
You know, everybody
so
bobbing
you are,
for apples.
You are not denying the story, then. You are admitting that Charlie Sheen's recollection is correct, that you were in his suite with the porn stars
That's
for
right.
2 hours.
That's
okay.
right. Because
That's good.
You and me... And the lady, what's the puta's name? Lisa.
Lisa.
And the rest of we are
goddess.
Goddess.
Now, Charlie, what? Can we talk to Charlie for a second?
Go ahead.
Why did you follow the mayor to Valencia?
Why?
Yes.
Because Valencia is the party capital of the world.
I don't.
Friend.
Is it really?
It's awesome town.
It is awesome town. I forgot about that. All right. So at least it's all settled. You can approve or disapprove, but at least now we know where everybody stands in this story, right?
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Winning.
We're not losing, puto.
Okay, got it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Whatever you do, Ralph, don't think about vomiting. Just don't even imagine any kind of food coming up through your throat and then out your mouth.
Wow. I got nothing left. I'm not worried. Talk about all you want.
I just went to the bathroom and the toilet just looked desperate. It was just like, please give me a break.
I've been abused all day. I'm empty.
Are we in the dry heave portion of the program now? Is that where we're at?
No, we're past that too. It's just
all right.
Yeah, it's just hungover. So you're no longer drunk anymore.
Now you're just hungover.
I believe so, yes.
Now, will you be asleep in 30 minutes? Is that your future?
I'll be asleep in 30 seconds.
We were talking about that because of last night's debut of the Joe Schmo Show.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. And Ralph had a big party and came straight from there to work.
Yeah.
It's not been doing so well today.
It's been a rough day. I should get some sort of purple heart or something for playing hurt. But we do have the last showbiz news to get to, so... Let's do that, shall we? It is that time of year again. The Paley Center, also known as the Museum of Television and Radio once upon a time, but now they are the Paley Center for Media here in Los Angeles and in New York. They do their William S. Paley Television Festival each and every year where they celebrate the best in television, and it's really a great event. You get to spend the evening with the cast and creators of some of your favorite TV shows, and we've been partnered up with them for the number of years now. We give out tickets to these, and we will be giving out tickets to this go-around as well. But I wanted to give you the heads up. They just announced their lineup for this year's Paley Fest, so you may want to go to paleycenter.org and check out how to get tickets yourself, because they do sell out every year, and you can't necessarily count on winning them from us. But here's the lineup for this year. Good schedule this year. The Walking Dead. That's a show you want to hear them talk about and ask some questions. They do a Q&A as well, so it's really cool. Revolution. Once Upon a Time. The Newsroom. I will be there for that one. Community. The New Normal. Parenthood. The Mindy Project. Nashville. Arrow. Dallas. New Girl. The Big Bang Theory. Two Broke Girls. An American Horror Story Asylum. That's the lineup for this year. Good bunch.
Strong. Ralph, who has questions for Two Broke Girls? I mean, who's going to show up and go, yeah, I really am curious to know why
the
waitress...
How did this get on the air? That would be one question.
It's weird. That one really kind of stands out compared to the other ones in the lineup, doesn't it?
I guess they have to fill a schedule like everybody.
How broke?
That's the other question.
Those are some boobs.
Was it always going to be two girls, or did it start out as just one?
Well, aren't one of you rich? Isn't one of you rich?
10 minutes in, they go, all right, thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks so much for coming by. Speaking of television, Bones just got picked up for another season.
Wow.
Good news for Bones fans. Yeah, Fox just announced they will bring back Emily Deschanel and David Boreanaz will be returning. They've just signed new deals with the network after last season's final show, so there will be at least a ninth season of Bones, which is good news for fans of that show. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, I find this hard to believe, unless they think they can get more. They have reportedly turned down $3 million for their first baby photos.
TMZ says it's because they think they can get more. You find that hard to believe?
No, I don't. That's just
sad.
It's just a sigh of just depression that they probably can get more.
Yeah. Hey, Brad and Angelina. Now, granted, they gave all the money to charity like they do, but they got $14 million for their baby pictures.
They
remember?
Did?
Yes.
Was it that much?
Wow. Yes. And I think, arguably, more people are interested in Kim and Kanye.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Well, they would give a portion of it to charity because that's what they do.
Yeah, a portion to Chris's church.
Right.
Church, yeah. At the Holiday Inn up there in Valencia, whatever the hell it is. God damn
it. It moves
people.
Every week.
This
you
makes
know.
You so proud to be a Californian.
Mm-mm. No, it really doesn't. Sarah Jessica Parker is a big believer in mom and daughter outfits. They like to dress alike.
Oh, no.
She likes to dress.
Don't do that to your kid.
Her twin girls, Tabitha and Marion, and her, they all like to look the same. It's bad enough the twins have to dress alike, but mom has to dress like them. Hmm. Stop that. And sad news, Tony Lip, very talented actor who was probably best known for playing Carmine Lupertazzi on The Sopranos, passed away in Teaneck, New Jersey at the age of 82. No word on the cause of death, but his family reports he had been in failing health. He has appeared in pretty much every mob project ever. The Godfather, Goodfellas, Raging Bull, Donnie Brasco. He was in them all. Really good actor, Tony Lip.
There's some guys who just have that look where you want them to be gangsters.
Absolutely. take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Nina DeBrev from
the still have time, Ralph. You don't have to go right to the birthday.
Yeah, what's the rush here, dude?
What other entertainment stories you got?
You got anything?
No.
Shut up.
I'm just trying to hold you up.
I would like to hear Ralph's thoughts on Al Roker pooping himself. We haven't talked to him about that.
Al has overshared.
Yes.
Can we hear a little Al?
Yeah, sure.
When you have a bypass and you know your bowel has been reconstructed, you think you're pretty safe. And I probably went off and ate something I wasn't supposed to. Mm-hmm. And as I'm walking to the press room,
right in the White House,
I think I got to pass a little gas here. So I'm walking by myself. Who's going to know? Only a little something extra came out.
Uh-oh.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants. Not horribly, but enough that I knew.
Which is a common side effect of this surgery.
Exactly. And so...
Isn't even a little bit horribly?
Yes. There's no degrees of horribly once you have crapped yourself. The minute that happens, it's automatically horrible.
Because he does make it sound like, actually, it was pretty cool. Wasn't bad at all.
I pooped myself. Yeah, not hard.
I was panicking. So I got to the restroom of the press room, threw out the underwear, and just went commando.
Oh, imagine whoever has to clean that poor bathroom went, who... toss their underwear.
That's
what?
A story that won't end. He just keeps going on and giving details and how he fixed the situation. For God's sakes.
This is magical.
This is amazing.
Hey, too much information, man.
Nina DeBrev, Vampire Diaries, is 24 years old today. Yes. As we look at the celebrity birthdays, Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, formerly known as Kate Middleton, is 31. AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is 35. Joey Lauren Adams from Chasing Amy celebrates her 45th birthday. Dave Matthews is 46. J.K. Simmons of Law & Order and The Closer is 58. Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist for Led Zeppelin, turns 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off, get some rest. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Dr. Drew for his weekly visit. We have comedian Eddie Izzard in the studio.
Wow. What?
We have rapper Common and actor Common in the studio. Both of them are going to show up.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And Amy Kaufman from the LA Times is going to talk to us about the Oscar nominations, which come out first thing tomorrow morning.
Go on. That's my boy.
That's all tomorrow on an all new Kevin and Bean Show.
The Cake Tahoe.